much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Next time, it will be war.
We'll have to get down to those volcanoes.
I agree.
We'll also need a company of first-rate men. Do you have any commandos here?
I have much, much better. Ninjas. Top secret, Bonsan. This is my ninja training school.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
If they ever ask about me, tell them I was more than just a great set of boobs. I was also an incredible pair of legs. And tell them that I never turned down a friend. Like, never turned down a stranger for that matter. And tell them that when all is said and done, I only ask that people remember me by two simple words. Any two, as long as they're simple.
And now,
there's something wrong in his head. Whatever the hell that noise was. Nice job, Bean.
Our feature presentation.
That's a great sound. That came out of
Thank
a
you.
Person.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Sort of sounds computerized or something. It doesn't sound normal.
Like a computer cat.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 3rd of March.
What's happening, you guys?
What's happening? I don't know how to answer that.
Hey, hockey, right?
Yes.
Who's with me?
Hockey's
Am
good.
Am I right, people?
We're
you
not
know what
sure.
I'm saying?
Well, you said hockey, so,
right?
So far I'm with you.
Okay. I always pay attention to, and I'm sure you guys do too as hockey fans, but I always pay attention to the trade deadline. You know, this is the push for the playoffs, and you want to see what you're going to do. And there were some interesting trades yesterday. The Kings and the Ducks both got defensemen that they think they're going to help the teams. But there was a story that kind of went beyond hockey yesterday that came out as a result of the trade deadline, which was on Monday. Did you hear about this player being traded to the Wild?
I don't know. Continue.
That should have been enough to make it sound
okay.
familiar
nope.
to you in the last 24 hours,
I
but his
too.
Name is Jordan Leopold. How about you, Ali? Do you hear about
no.
this guy? He's been playing for the Columbus Blue Jackets, which, as you know, is a tough assignment in the NHL right now. Blue Jackets are not doing great and not going to make the playoffs. He's from Minnesota. He played in college at the University of Minnesota. He was a Golden Gopher. He and his wife have lived in Minnesota for many, many years. He has 4 kids, by the way, but he has been playing for Columbus since last November. Well, trade deadline's approaching, and his daughter, who, by the way, is also named Jordan Leopold, writes a letter to the Minnesota Wild and says, "My name is Jordan Leopold. My dad is Jordan Leopold. She's Jordan D-Y-N. He's Jordan D-A-N, but they do have the same name," which is kind of unusual for a father and a daughter, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
"My name is Jordan Leopold. My dad is Jordan Leopold, one of the Columbus Blue Jackets. He's a defenseman. Well, my dad is very lonely without his family. We are living in Minnesota, and I am lost without my dad, and so is my mom and my 2 sisters and my brother. My dad is on a team with young guys and is very lonely and is not playing much because the Jackets got him because they needed a defenseman. It has been since November, and we cannot take it anymore. Well, to get to the point, the Wild have not been winning games, and your lovely coaches are most likely mad about that, and your team needs some more defensemen. So can you please, please, please ask the Jackets if you guys can get my dad? Thanks. Love, Jordan Leopold."
Aww.
You probably can guess what happened
yes,
next.
Yes, but were they working on it before? I'm sure. I'm positive that didn't make the entire decision for them, right?
The mom found the letter. The daughter wrote the letter. The mom found the letter, and she did not mail it. But she did okay. post it to her Facebook page. And this was on Monday morning, by the way. She posted it on her Facebook page. And it became a viral sensation and did get to the Blue Jackets general manager, a man with a name I cannot pronounce. He tweeted about it and said, "It's not always just about business," and tweeted a copy of the letter. And they did, in fact, trade him to the Minnesota Wild. "We wanted to do the right thing with Jordan. That's what we talk about all the time. We knew that his family was in Minnesota and that he was here alone. His family had visited a few times. There is a human side, believe it or not, to our business. I think it's great that he can go home and join his family. To see that letter, it's pretty touching. Here's the general manager for the Minnesota Wild. After I saw it, there was pressure to close the deal, that's for sure. I've spoken to Jordan this afternoon. He's been away from his family for most of the year, and that's hard. You've certainly got a feel for him, but I know he's extremely excited to play for the Wild and to join our team. I think we're going to have a very motivated player and a very excited family, so those are two very good things to have. How sweet is that?
Total coincidence, though, right? I mean,
I don't know.
I don't think there's any professional sports team that would make moves because of that.
I mean, I don't think Columbus would have given him up if they thought that he could help their team.
Right, right, right.
But the Minnesota Wild wouldn't have hired him, you know, wouldn't have traded for him unless they thought he could help their team. So I don't know. I mean, it's certainly possible this was on their radar before, but it's also possible that this was just one of those cases where they thought, man, it's not going to hurt us that much, not going to help us that much, but it'll, you know, make the organization look good or
sure,
at least make
absolutely.
The family happy or something. I mean, it's a great PR move.
Way to go, Jordan.
It?
How old is she, did you say?
She is 11.
That's impressive.
Years old. Wow.
That's actually impressive on so many levels.
And this has got to be a huge story in Minnesota, and I would imagine great PR for the club, and I bet you that a lot of people will be very excited to see him take the ice. I mean, he's going to be a player that's going to have a lot of people kind of rooting for him to be happy and do well, I think.
Cool for him, too, to not be so far away from home and to play
absolutely.
For the team that he probably grew up watching.
Yeah, absolutely. With a wife and four kids back home. So when you mock me about strongly worded letters, I would just like to point out that every once in a while, it kind of pays off, doesn't it?
Are you adorable at 11?
I actually am not, no. Although her handwriting is better than mine.
And she signed it with a smiley face, I imagine.
Yeah, well, Pete does that.
She did sign it with a smiley face, as a matter of fact. Allie, how about that?
Always. Always.
That, even bad news goes down better with a smiley
face.
That's true. I've said it for years.
I've always said Bean, it's so ironic that Bean puts a smiley face after his name, because he's just not really happy.
How dare you?
He's the opposite from a smiley face. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
This man is a failure. He is not up to snuff.
The Bachelor Report.
Yeah.
He's going to be on the program today.
Now, I don't know anything from The Bachelor, but Ralph was very excited yesterday that last night was the women tell. So I guess that's where it gets pretty catty, I bet.
Oh, it's going to be good.
Oh, jeez.
This is the first season where we don't really watch it because we like to hear Ralph and Petros talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first season where I went, you know what? I feel like this show's for me. Because it's all crazy.
I watched one.
You did.
And I felt dirty. And then after Gotham last night, I switched over for 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Really?
Did you get your fill?
I'll talk about this with Ralph, but
okay.
It disturbed me. It wasn't
really?
Just a matter of, oh, they're so catty, aren't they funny women? It disturbed me on a mentally ill level.
Like you think there's something wrong with some of these contestants,
with
you mean?
With one of them, either she's pretending she's off her meds or she is. And either way, it's a joke, which is so disturbing to me.
I think that's why I want to watch it.
You've got problems.
I don't think, I mean, the producers do have a responsibility at some point to not let mentally ill people on the show, right? But the other side of that is they love it, I bet. Because it makes great TV.
It makes great TV, yeah.
One woman in particular, I'm sure they're going to be talking about her.
She's the one that allegedly killed her husband? That one?
No.
Oh,
no.
Not that one.
No.
Okay, wow.
That's the one I remembered from the first time I watched. And it was a blonde woman that something was not right. And if she's acting, that's more disturbing to me.
Yeah. Emmy. If she's acting.
No.
Oh, that's more disturbing.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I can't wait. The Bachelor Report's coming up. We also have Dash Mihawk in the studio. He, of course, is on Gotham. By the way, Allie, tell us what you saw in Gotham last night.
First of all, Dash was back last night, which was a delight to see. More delightful, a head transplant.
Yeah! We talked about this yesterday.
Yes, it happened yesterday on Gotham. They transplanted a man who worked at the place where, I don't want to give much away, but Fish Mooney, where she's being held.
Right.
They're using body parts, if you will. Just as an aside, to show what they can do, they transplanted a man's head on a woman's body.
On a woman's body?
Yep. Head transplant.
I would be very conflicted if I were on a date with that person.
You'd never leave home.
I'd be very conflicted if I was that person. Right? Because you love the female body and now you have one.
Yeah, but it was literally his head.
Good point.
Yeah.
How about that?
Uh-huh.
We have Bean Makes Us Guess, a feature on this program that we enjoy. Bean comes up with all kinds of different quizzes, and most of the time we guess pretty poorly. We're not good at this game. but we're going to do it today. We have Adi Shankar, who is on the program today, talking about the Power Rangers fan film, which is sweeping the country, I believe.
He is a respected and famous and successful movie producer, sometimes actor, who is a very sharp young man who he had his first number one movie, by the way, at 28 years old when he produced The Grey.
Wow.
He's a Hollywood player, man, and there's going to probably be a lawsuit as a result of this Power Rangers movie that he made that could be very significant. So it's going to be interesting to get his take on it.
We have Adam Carolla in the 6 o'clock hour this morning, and we have your tickets for Kevin Amese's April Foolishness coming up also in the 6 o'clock hour for those of you that have to get up early. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
It is Tuesday morning. Your tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015 coming up in less than 30 minutes from right now. Adam Carolla next hour as well. Ralph is here now. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. It's official. The Kardashians are making you feel like you don't have enough ass. It's official.
Need more ass?
You need more ass. Making people uncomfortable and insecure about their asses.
Please explain.
Well, Kim Kardashian has a big ass.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought maybe you didn't understand that part. The Cosmopolitan magazine says that the American Society of Plastic Surgeons shows data that proves buttock augmentation. I felt like Forrest Gump there for a minute. Buttock. That augmentation procedure went up 15% over the past year. Booty lifts increased 44%. And butt implants, 98%.
Wow.
Wow.
People spend a lot of money on their asses these days.
I'm confused by this. Allie, maybe you can help me understand this. I thought women do a lot of exercises and dieting to not have their ass get big.
Oh, being that so 1999.
Wow. Right, that's very last century,
really?
If you will. I think more so now women are finding that having curves is something that you want to achieve instead of that stick straight body, or as my friend calls it, a 6 o'clock ass from the 12 to the 6, that flat pancake.
Yeah, you don't want that.
You don't want that.
You want the big, you want the lady lumps is what you want.
If you will.
And I will.
I don't want.
But by going the extra step of getting an implant, it seems extreme.
A bit much. But you can work out and do as many squats as humanly possible and not achieve any sort of lift. So
yeah.
And you're not going to get the card ass.
Card ass, yeah.
No. What do you think it runs you to give your backside a boost surgically?
Boy, how do you guess? $4,000.
Just a general number. What do you think?
$4,000.
It's usually well over $10,000.
Wow.
Whoa.
How badly do you need
it's one
an
of the
ass?
More pricey procedures, they say.
Wow.
So, get to it, ladies. Start pumping your ass full of stuff. Butt. What about the butt indeed?
It's a good question.
I love Robert Downey Jr. so much, I want to French kiss him.
He is awesome.
He is the best. Yesterday, a video hit YouTube. It just made me smile so much. It is Robert Downey Jr. working with the good people over at Omaze.com. If you're not familiar, they are a terrific charitable organization that raises money for various children's charities. In this particular case, the charity is Julia's House. This is a children's hospice center dedicated to help improving the lives of children who have been diagnosed with terminal illness. And for the low, low price of $10, you can enter in what is basically a lottery, with the grand prize being what they're calling the Robert Downey Jr. Experience. You fly to Los Angeles. You experience indoor skydiving, a helicopter ride over the Hollywood sign, custom tux and gown fitting, a pit stop at Randy's Donuts, a caviar tasting with Robert Downey Jr. before riding in his private motorcade to the premiere of Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron.
Wow.
Flights, four-star hotels, transportation, it's all included. All it takes is a $10 minimum donation to benefit Julia's House, and then a winner will be chosen from the people who donate. The video is also wildly entertaining. Here's a little taste of Robert Downey Jr. telling you all about this amazing offer.
Hi, honey bunnies. Quick question. Have you had the best night of your life ever on Earth yet?
Well, you could. With me. For a good cause. Here's the deal. You
donate $10 or more for a chance to win the RDJ experience. I correspondingly fly you and a friend out to L.A., put you up in a four-star hotel, and proceed to awesome the crap out of you.
Yes. You can have the awesome, the crap out of you if you're the winner.
I didn't know that was a thing.
It is a thing.
All right.
This is a great cause, too, so I recommend you go to Omaze, omaze.com/RDJ. And there you get your chance to donate just $10 to benefit Julia's house and enter yourself into the possibility of having him awesome your face off. How great would that be to spend the evening with Robert Downey Jr.?
You're pretty cool.
And everything's sort of Iron Man tied in. That's why you do the indoor
skydiving
because you feel like you're flying like Iron Man. And you remember in Iron Man, he's having donuts on the Randy's Donut when he flies around in his armor. So it's all sort of Iron Man related. But great opportunity to hang out with Robert Downey Jr. and see the premiere of Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron.
I would guess that's the way.
He's got a wooden hand, if I remember.
Yeah, and he does have a wooden hand. Don't bring that up if you get a chance to meet him, though. He's very, very particular about it. Kevin did that once. It made him very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Hey, that left shark sure doesn't know how to dance, right? Who's with me?
Oh, man, that left shark is back?
Never left, Kevin. It's hotter than ever.
What?
Katy Perry's now making money off of Left Shark. Left Shark, of course, was her backup dancer at the Super Bowl. Now you can get the official Left Shark onesie costume for your baby from her official website. You want to dress your baby up like Left Shark? Now's your chance. It just costs you $129.99.
Wow.
What? Come on.
It's not a bargain.
Don't you love your child?
Don't no!
Don't you want your child to be dressed like a Left Shark?
Not for $129, I don't think.
How about the $25 Left Shark t-shirt? Interested in that? You can get that on her website,
too. Yeah.
Staying right on top of things. I mean, that was only what? Last week? No.
No, that was two and a half months ago. Look, it takes a while to get Chinese workers to crank out those Left Shark onesies.
But when the Harlem Shake merchandise starts coming, man, I am all over it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, March 3rd. Yolandi Visser.
Oh, he or she is terrific.
Singer Yolandi Visser.
Yolandi.
Who the hell is that?
Yolandi Visser B.
Di Antwoord. She's the, she's the crazy looking broad from Di Antwoord.
Okay, gotcha. She's also sang that shower song, right?
No, that was someone else. It was yesterday. She's also in Chappie. She's 31 years old today. Yeah. Jessica Biel's 33 years old. Julie Bowen from Modern Family is 45. But I think the reason we're going to be celebrating all day long. It's Tone Loc's birthday!
To the hotel. She said, you're the king. I said, be my queen if you know what I mean. It's
let's do the wild thing. He loves to do the wild thing.
Tone Loc is 49 years old today. Oh, Tone. Let's call Tone up, see what he's up to. Who's got Tone's number? Who's got Tone's number? You got Tone's number?
I don't think we have Tone's number.
Ugh. You're not tone deaf, are you?
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
All right.
Didn't get a lot of sleep again last night. Here we go.
Starts again.
Starts again. I'm Ralph Garman to walk the showbiz beat.
Yesterday was the day a lot of us have been waiting for. It's one of our favorite nights of the year. We're talking about Kevin Amin's April Foolishness. Now, year 7. It's going to be at the Shrine Auditorium on April 4th. You can get all the details at krock.com. Tickets going on sale this Friday at noon. Great, great lineup this year, including our friends Tenacious D, who are going to be playing at the top of the bill. Allie, you know those guys, don't you?
I love those guys.
They're so good.
And people that don't know their music, I think, will be shocked. They think Jack Black, he's funny, he's amusing. The musicianship that goes along with this band is incredible.
Yep, it is so good.
Our friend Fluffy is going to be on the bill. Gabriel Iglesias, Ralphie May, Adam Ray, Eliza Schlesinger, who we love. Our old friend Brad Williams comes back this year. House music by Mike Rum. All the tickets, as I mentioned, are on sale this Friday at noon. Proceeds benefit Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. We are looking for contestants right now. If you want to win your way in ahead of them even going on sale, you have to play a game, give you a chance to earn those, but you can call right now. We'll put you on hold at 1-800-520-1067. Good luck.
There was a movie in 1982 that people still consider a classic called Blade Runner.
Now, you have to hate that, Kevin, because it's so old, right?
I don't remember much about it, except for Harrison Ford running around through a city. That's all I remember.
All right.
But they're talking about remaking it, and with Harrison Ford.
So not rebooting it, actually doing a sequel, right? Or a remake with Harrison Ford now 50 years older.
That's the part that I can't get past. How old was he in 82? Was he like 50? 1982?
I don't think he was quite that 60? Old in 1982.
No, he's about 90 now.
No, it was five years. It was 5 years after Star Wars, so he was probably, I don't know, he was probably 35 or something like that back then, I would imagine.
He seems a little old for this, doesn't he?
He does. I don't know how it's going to work. It was a sci-fi classic. First of all, it was based on a classic book by Philip K. Dick, who's written tons of fiction classics. Then it was made into a classic movie by Ridley Scott, who's going to be executive producing this. He says the script is one of the best things he's ever seen, and he's excited about Harrison Ford being in the franchise reboot. And we thought, let's find out from Harrison Ford himself what this movie is going to be all about, because I know it's got a lot of fans. Hi, Mr. Ford. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, too. What can you tell us about the new Blade Runner? A lot of people are very excited about it. The internet is abuzz.
It's not a reboot or remake. Sequel.
It's not a reboot, remake. It's a sequel.
Yeah.
A sequel. Okay. That's right. That's good information, right?
Now, the original took place in 2019, and this will be several decades past that. What's going to be different?
More years.
Okay. is that your Indiana Jones whip?
Yeah.
Okay. You always have that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You came back to play Indiana Jones a number of years ago. Now you're back playing Han Solo in the Star Wars movies. Yeah. And now you're talking about rebooting, you know, this Blade Runner. You sure love to redo and revisit your old roles, don't you?
Well, you can come back and things before it. You know, sometimes with all the.
I'm not.
But I didn't get that.
Then they know what they did before and then all of them.
I'm sorry, Mr. Ford. I really apologize. I'm not hearing you. I can't make out what you're saying.
Just can you speak up a little bit? Sorry. We're doing our best.
You can do it.
Didn't catch one word. Not even a clue as to what you just said. Heard that.
Are you going to be playing the same character or a different role?
Rick Deckard.
What?
Rick Deckard.
Rick Deckard. Okay, so the same.
Same role.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Before. All I got was before.
Do you still feel like you're up for all the action? All the running around?
Yeah. I just had a colonic.
You just had a colonic?
That I heard.
Unfortunately, we heard that.
Make me lighter.
Are you getting to the point in your life where action films, you might have to be cutting back on them some?
Pudding and Philip K. Dick.
Okay. Philip K. Dick, I think.
I heard pudding.
Wrote the book. I heard pudding, yes.
Okay. I love pudding.
Okay, I love good. Okay, I love pudding. Okay.
God damn, I love pudding.
Right.
You got any?
Well, no. We're just talking to you about being in Blade Runner.
Wish you had some pudding.
Well, we're on the phone. We couldn't give you pudding.
Yeah. That's sad.
Happening.
We better let Mr. Ford go back to his pudding.
I gotta get some pudding.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you for your time. We appreciate it. Good luck.
And pudding.
Kevin Amin's April Foolishness, we announced yesterday, is coming April 4th. But tickets go on sale this Friday at noon. This Friday at noon. Go to the website for more details.
And that's KRock.com, of course. Tickets available through Ticketmaster. Proceeds to benefit the Fisher House in Cedars-Sinai, NICU. Let's give away some tickets right now with a new game that we like to call Joke or Choke. Hit it, Steve.
So get up, get down. April Foolishness coming to your town. Get up, get down. Guess the comedian, you'll wear the fool's crown. Yeah, that's right, April Foolishness. It's time to play Joke or Choke. Oh, yeah, diggity dog, it's time to get down with the fun ass. It's time to play Joke or Choke. Oh, yeah.
All right, so So joke or choke, you guessed the comedian. We're going to play a clip, a joke from one of the comedians that is on the bill that night. All you have to do is tell us the name of that person, and you will go into the drawing to win tickets for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness at the Shrine on April 4th. Who's our first contestant?
First, we have Leonard, who's calling from Ontario. Hi, Leonard.
Hey, how you guys doing? Good morning.
Good, thank you.
Good, man. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. You ready to play joke or choke?
Absolutely.
All right. Who is this comedian?
They were so incredibly hot. And dressed total skanky. It was awesome.
That should be Ralphie Mee.
It should be. And it is, yes.
All right.
Nicely done. You go in the drawing. Thank you.
Nice phone, too, Leonard.
let's go to Lance. Hi, Lance.
Hey, what's up?
Welcome to... Are we calling this Joker Choke and we're stuck with that name?
That's correct. Okay. Yes, that's the name.
Welcome. Here's your comedian. Tell us who this is.
If push came to shove and shoving and pushing, if there was shoving... If shove came to push and I push shove, yeah, throw down.
Who is that?
I have no idea.
You want to take a guess?
Never mind. Thank you.
Thank you for playing.
That was Adam Ray. Adam Ray. Next up is Jason in Chino Hills. Hi there.
How's it going?
Good. Thank you. You ready for your comedian?
I am.
Here you go.
I get inside of Walgreens. I don't even have a clue as to where to find a pregnancy test. I'm looking at all the aisles. They don't have one that says oops.
All right. Who's that?
That's Fluffy.
That's Fluffy. Yes! Is correct. Nicely done. You go in the drawing. Hold on. Right, let's go to Manny in Los Angeles. Hi, Manny.
What's up, party people? How you doing?
We are good.
Manny, do you get through a lot, or do we have a lot of listeners named Manny?
I get through a lot.
Okay. All right. Do you ever win, or are you on a constant fail loop?
I am on a constant fail loop.
Oh, Manny.
I just feel like Manny tries to win every game we play and never does.
But,
right?
But Manny, if you're losing every time, let someone else have a shot.
Hey, I want
to win. I'm saying they might win. All right, we're going to give you one that's a little easier, I believe. Tell us who this comedian is.
And she just did some sort of like weird vaginal puppetry.
All right, who's that?
Eliza Schlesinger.
Yes, it is.
Thank God.
Nicely
done.
Doesn't mean you won the drawing, but you got that one right. All right. Let's go to Dave in Moreno Valley. Hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going well. You ready for your comedian?
Absolutely.
Here you go.
I've seen a ton of porno in my day. I have never seen the wheelchair porno. How does that work? And it's like wheel up to it like that, like we back away from it like that. I don't know. Maybe he's got one of those automatic wheelchairs. Just me.
Is that Brad Williams?
That is Brad Williams. Nicely done.
Well done.
All right.
By the way, I'm listening to these comedians, all of whom are going to be on the bill for April Foolishness, and I'm thinking, this could be a pretty good night of comedy.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Well, I think we all sort of made peace with that a while ago.
I'm just saying, it kind of reinforces that there's a lot of very funny people on the bill. That's all
right.
The upswing to the voice, though, Kevin? Yeah.
Yeah. Steve and Azusa, hi.
How are you guys doing this morning?
We are good. Thank you. Let's see if there's any way you can name this comedian.
Your sauce will mix with ours, and we'll make a good goulash, baby.
That's Jack Black and Tenacious D.
That is Tenacious D. Nicely done. It's kind of a giveaway when you have one girl and one band.
I think so. Yeah, well, it was a little easier for some than it was for others. All right, so a bunch of people, everybody but the one guy kind of flaked out on us, but we got Leonard, and we got Jason, we got Manny, we got Dave, we got Steve, all in the drawing to win tickets for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness. Saturday, April 4th at the Shrine Auditorium, only one can win. Miss Allie McKay, who's our winner today?
Oh, picked totally at random. Manny.
Manny.
It's about time.
You finally won. You won.
Thank you so much.
You're not
guys.
A loser.
Well, not today.
You won. Congratulations.
You might still be a loser, but you're going to April Foolishness. Joker choke. Oh! Hey, the Sundance Sunset Cinema in West Hollywood starting this Friday is going to be showing a movie called Road Hard, written and starring our old friend Adam Carolla. He is also going to be hosting a special screening at the same place on Monday. Tickets and more information at adamcarolla.com. Ace Man, congratulations on the film, my brother. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for enjoying it.
Of course, I did very much. I just want to know, am I Dickie or am I the sludge?
Dickie, sludge. Yeah, I actually was interviewed by Sludge about 2 weeks ago.
Those aren't real guys. Those aren't real radio hosts that you visited in the movie, are they?
No, those are fake guys, and there were going to be, I think, Boomer and Floor Wax or something, but I think Boomer and Floor Wax existed, and then we were thinking of Dickie and the Nudge, or I can't think of what we were thinking of from, like, Crank Yankers, but eventually, it was between that and the Ass Crack and Back Sack in the morning.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That'd be good, right?
That'd be good, yeah.
It's just, it's so funny that anytime there are morning radio DJs that are, you know, pictured in a film, they're always the worst. They're always so unfunny and so obnoxious and so retarded. And you, who used to be a morning radio DJ, I guess I just expected a little bit more respect from you, Ace Man.
Well, Sludge is a guy I met. When I was doing morning radio, he was trying out for, like, the engineering job, and there's, like, a 43-year-old guy, and I was like, what's your name? He's like, Sludge. I'm like, we're not on the air, you know? And he's like, I know. I'm Sludge.
Sludge?
Like, you have teenage children. You're going by Sludge. You have an enlarged prostate. You're going with Sludge. Off the air. Okay.
Adam Carolla's on the line. His film called Road Hard. I mentioned where you can see it locally. It's also going to be everywhere on demand this Friday as well, and it's a huge pre-order on Amazon.com. And the story, loosely, Adam, is you're a guy who's on the road, a comedian like so many are, who's just getting tired of the traveling and getting tired of the low pay and the bad clubs and everything that you have to endure. Yet you have a partner from a TV show very much like The Man Show that you called The Bro Show, who's gone on to become a late-night television sensation. I can't imagine where you came up with the idea for this thing.
Well, obviously, Dr. Drew played a pretty big role. I thought the only thing that could make this guy more miserable, and it's true, the only thing that can make a guy more miserable when he's having to do what my character's having to do, which is, you know, he's divorced and the TV show is dried up and the money's gone away, is to go on the road. The only thing that makes it worse is to have a super successful partner who's all over television,
yeah,
while he's going on the road. And that was definitely torn from the pages of my life, because it upped the misery index. Like, when I used to go out, it's true, if you go to Burbank Airport, there's a huge poster of Jimmy Kimmel that's right on the Southwest terminal that I would use to go to play Phoenix or Vegas or wherever I was going. There's this huge poster, and I'm getting into the Southwest flight, going somewhere I don't want to go, playing a club I don't want to have to go to. And I'm as miserable as I can be, except for I look up and see a big, smiling Jimmy Kimmel, and I get just a little bit more miserable.
And that role is played by Jay Mohr, by the way. He's the late-night talk show host that's in the movie. And Jay is very, very funny in it. But I was almost surprised, Adam, that you went this route with the movie, just because there are still people who know you from The Man Show who really aren't that plugged in with all the many projects. They don't read books like you've written. They don't listen to podcasts like you do. They don't know that you're actually super successful and have moved on well past that. So I kind of feel like you're just going to be feeding this for the next 20 years. People are going to think this is your real life.
Well, you know, at the risk of making myself look like a pathetic ass, I just thought it was a funny storyline, and I do, just like with the hammer, just kind of write what I know or sort of what I've lived. And there's stuff in there that's true, there's stuff in there that's not true. It's just a cobbled together story of things that happen and things that could have happened or didn't happen, but I'm really happy with everyone's performance in it, and I'm really happy with how it came out.
Ask which Adam Carolla is the better, the comedian or the director? Are you a good director?
It's not as hard as everyone makes it out to be. I mean, if you're doing this film, because, you know, if you're starring in the film, you're essentially directing yourself anyway, because you're sort of telling yourself how to say it and how to act it and how to be it.
Right.
And then when you cast everybody and you're acting across them, you know, it's like, what am I going to tell David Koechner about acting?
Yeah,
you know
right.
what I mean? I mean, you come to Ileana Douglas or Jay Moore, whoever, like Larry Miller. Like, there's nothing for me to tell them. They come in, I tell them what the line is. I tell them what the part is. I tell them what time to show up. And then they just do what they do. It's really more about, it was co-directed with Kevin Hinge. He's just the guy sitting in Video Village looking at a monitor, telling you to do it again or telling you to not do it again. We get a little artsy-fartsy about it, but most of it is just technical.
I fell in love with Diane Farr all over again in this movie. She plays a love interest of your character, and she is terrific. And I was just wondering, Adam, what's it like for you as a grown-ass man with a family? And I know people ask actors all this, you know, this all the time, but because I know you, was it difficult to do love scenes with her?
I mean, the penetration stuff. I mean, for her, you know, for me, it felt very organic.
You were good,
very
right?
Natural. We actually had...
Because you don't kiss a lot of women that aren't your wife anymore. I'm just saying, it has to seem a little bit weird.
Yeah, it's really my motivation for making movies to kiss other women. You know, have it be all above the board.
Sure.
We had Diane and her husband live near me and my wife and, like, brought them over for her to watch the movie. And then there's that part where you're making out and you think... Oh yeah, I forgot about this part. it's weird. It's weird. I mean, obviously it's weird, but the other part is like, you can't really fake kiss too much, because if you fake it, it just looks like, you know, an episode of the Brady Bunch and Jan's getting her first kiss or something. It's weird. So
you had to go for it.
You got to go for it, man.
Now, yeah. Adam, you have obviously a huge fan base with your podcast, which made the crowdfunding a bit easier. But is there anything different that you would have done with the making of this movie and how it all came about?
Yes. The product is just how we wanted it. And whatever was in my head is on the screen. And I'm real happy about that. The thing that I would change is something I didn't know about, but other people did, which is we had 13,000 contributors, and somebody said every single one of them gets mentioned in the credits.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, wow.
So it's like an hour and a half of credits.
Yeah, a little more, but yeah, give or take. And somebody went, I think that's a dumb idea. And then somebody else went, no, I think it's a capital idea. And those 13,000 people that had to be figured out and put in order and put into the credits of this thing. And that became a little laborsome the end, you know, in what they call post.
Sure. Adam Carolla's movie is called Road Hard. It's available everywhere on demand this Friday. You can go to adamcarolla.com, watch the trailer, get information on where to buy it, how to buy it. You can also meet Adam. He'll be hosting a special screening at the Sundance Sunset Cinema next Monday. The movie's playing there all weekend long. Again, adamcarolla.com for details. Great cast. We mentioned Diane Farr and Larry Miller, David Alan Grier, Howie Mandel, Jay Moore, David Koechner. I saw Brad Williams' name in the credits. I didn't see him in the movie. Is he just too short to have shown up? What happened?
Yeah, we had the camera, what they call, up on the sticks, and we just couldn't get it down.
That's so sad.
But, you know, he's in the credits. We have some comedians doing stand up in the credits. But as you go through the 13,000 names.
Yeah, I didn't have that kind of time to sit through the 13-minute closing credits, Adam. But the movie is very funny, man. Congratulations, well done, sir.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Adam.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
$19 million? I thought it was kind of weak. I thought it would open more than... Yes. More money for
what
that
he said.
Would be good, better have.
That was a moment with Ralph.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I like it. Hey, last week we were talking about that young man that made the Power Rangers short, the bootleg Power Rangers movie, that now has over 12 million views on YouTube. He joins us in studio next hour here on the Kevin DeMean Show. Adi Shankar is going to be our guest on K-Rock. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday.
The phenomenon of the fan film is fairly recent, but it is a powerful one.
Yeah.
People now have the ability through their iPhones to create movies that rival those in cineplexes, and that is
unique to this day and age, where you can just be a fan of something and create your own version of it and put it up online and get 12 million people to watch.
This does not look like a fan film, you know.
Well, this guy's a real producer.
He's really good, yeah.
So he's got that advantage. But
he's got the resources to make those kinds of special effects, hire those kinds of actors, too.
But I'm not talking about just his films. If you go to see fan films, especially very prevalent in the comic book fandom community, where people will make their own Batman movies, their own Superman movies, and things like that, and they're just remarkable how they put them together with such imagination and talent that they're starting to push the buttons of the people who own the actual franchises and licenses for these characters. So it's interesting. Interesting dynamic. Remember that unretouched photo of Cindy Crawford that went viral last month and everybody was celebrating it, saying, thank God the former supermodel is willing to show off her real beauty, her true beauty, warts and all. The 49-year-old supermodel still looks great. Everyone just applaud how natural she is and how wonderful that photo is. And now we can all celebrate natural and wonderful and real and natural.
Yes.
Turns out that photo was touched up to made to look like that.
What?
Touched up to made
to make her stomach look wrinkled and older and everything. It has been augmented to make her look worse than she actually looks. It was retouched in the opposite, in reverse.
I've never heard of this.
What's the point of that?
I've never heard of making somebody look worse.
Because that was where the story was. If you've got a picture of Cindy Crawford looking worse than she usually looks in photographs, then you've got something worth selling, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, that's what happened. Someone took a photo of her and tried to make her look worse than she actually looks in real life. So I think we're celebrating that real beauty, not real at all. Turns out she looks better than real life still.
So you were trying to make women feel better, and now you're making us feel worse.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Because they had to take special effects to Cindy Crawford at 49 to make her look like a 49-year-old.
Yeah.
Because she still looks more awesome than everyone.
Yeah, she does.
Fail! Real fail. It turns out it was from a Marie Claire shoot. The photographer John Russo is now taking legal action against any of the websites that posted the picture, saying it's been significantly altered to make Cindy look worse. And so now sites are taking it down left and right because there's legal action pending. But if you want to feel really bad about yourself on Valentine's Day, Crawford's husband, Randy Gerber, posted a picture of his wife in a bikini showing off her ridiculous stomach, and she looks like she's about 22 years old.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So much for real life.
Yeah.
By the way, you guys have seen their children lately, right?
Yes.
I don't think I have.
Cindy Crawford and Randy Gerber's children. They're the most beautiful children in the world.
Well, sure.
They don't look real.
You take those genetics and you put them together.
Yeah, you can't lose.
You're going to get good. Congratulations to David Spade. I don't know if you know about this or not. This True TV. They are making a push into original comedy. Spade has just announced he is going to do a genre-busting show, which is a faux reality show, which will be populated by improv actors. And one of the people in the show will really think they're competing on a reality show.
I've never heard of that before.
That
sounds awesome. It sounds original and fresh.
It's
and
genius.
I look forward to that.
Why hasn't anyone done that
before? Why hasn't anyone done that before, I ask?
That's so weird.
In an unrelated story, I'd like to announce my new movie, Joe Dust. I'll be making about a lovable redneck with a mullet who goes around cracking wise. Joe Dust coming to a theater near you soon. F you, David Spade.
But he's got Mo Schmo. That's his new show.
Bastards. It's new release day.
Yes.
TV shows on DVD you can pick up if you're interested. Outlander, Season 1, Volume 1. I'm going to wait for Volume 2 and then get the whole Season 1 of Outlander. What's Outlander? Is that the one with the bears?
I think it's the next one.
It might be.
Next Door Neighbor's a bear.
Transporter, the series, Season 1. Anyone? Anything?
Transporter, no.
Is this thing on?
No, I don't.
Foxcatcher, the movie on DVD with Steve Carell and Channing Tatum and Mark Ruffalo. New CDs, Noel Gallagher, High Flying Birds.
That's right.
Chasing Yesterday. And Kelly Clarkson's got a new CD out called Piece by Piece as well. Did they send in my Clarkson audio?
Yes.
Did Omar get to that? I don't know if you saw this or not, but last night on Jimmy Fallon, The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, Kelly Clarkson came on, and she has famously said she has a hard time finding people to do duets with her. What was she thinking, saying that and going on that show?
Yeah.
So Jimmy and
drafted her into a sketch where they do the history of duets. They do every famous duet ever.
Wait, Jimmy Fallon started singing with one of the guests on The Tonight Show?
I know it's hard to believe, but once again, the drunk a-hole from Boston commandeered the karaoke machine and would not get off of it for the rest of the party. Here's a little clip from last night's show.
Mark, yeah. Ing, yeah. Bird, yeah. 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 Mockingbird. Everybody, have you heard? Islands in the street. That is what we are. No one in between. How can we be wrong? Sail away with me to another world. And we'll rely on each other. Aha. From one lover to another. Aha.
You were working as a waitress in a cocktail bar. When I met you.
Stop it. Just stop it. Please. Just stop.
You know what would have been better would be to hear Kelly Clarkson sing a song.
Yeah, so much better. Why does he have to make everything about him and karaoke every night?
That's what he does,
I mean,
man.
I guess the answer to that is that it works because that now becomes a viral thing that promotes The Tonight Show.
And his ratings are better than they've ever been.
Yeah.
I guess.
I think that's the answer, is that it's working.
Because it makes viral videos?
Because it makes viral videos, right?
How about making
Stop
the show
it.
Good? Does anyone want to make the show good? Or just the videos good? who am I kidding?
It does Stop seem it. Like a waste of Kelly Clarkson.
It does.
To me.
But we got to hear him do his impression of the guy from Don't You Want Me, Baby.
Yeah, we did.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jessica Biel's 33 years old today. Julie Bowen is 45. And we now know what Tone Loc's up to. He's going to be performing at the 10th Annual Freestyle Festival on the Queen Mary in Long Beach on April the 25th.
All right.
Along with, wait for you to hear this lineup, Debbie Deb, Young MC, Shannon, CoverGirls, CC Music Factory, Stacey Q, Lisa, Sir Mix-a-Lot, and Vanilla Ice.
That's a pretty great throwback lineup, by the
Hell
way.
Hell yeah, I'm there.
Wow.
Stacey Q.
Two of Hearts,
two
Stacey?
Two of Hearts. Two hearts that beat as one. And then you get Tone Loc, baby.
Oh, in Medina.
Oh, yeah. I'm there. 10th Annual Freestyle Festival.
I like it. Little Shannon, let the music play. Little Debbie Deb, Lookout Weekend. I mean, they
Young
got them
MC
all.
Bust a Move.
Is Lisa right, Lisa man. With her Cult Jam?
No,
or they
the Cult
home?
Jam. We don't need a Cult Jam.
Okay.
We have Lisa, Cult Jam.
Then you got Vanilla Ice on the loose. He's got a knife, but he's running. He's going to stab people.
Because he stabbed people.
Hold on a sec. What's Kevin talking about?
No, let's find out. Let's investigate more. Why is Vanilla Ice going to stab people?
Nope.
No, he stole some stuff.
He stole like a pool heater and a couch and stuff out of a vacant house.
What are you talking about, Kevin?
I was thinking of
stab anybody.
Screech.
You were confusing Vanilla Ice.
Not even a singer.
With the guy from Saved by the Bell?
Yes, I was. Yeah, that's...
How did that happen?
Oh, please. How do I know?
What?
It just
what,
does.
What?
It just happened.
What?
You should know that by now.
What?
Who?
What?
What? Allie looked at me like
what?
I was speaking Chinese.
Yeah. What are you thinking about, Allie?
Respond.
How do you behave that way?
Kevin,
how can you be confused by what Kevin said, Allie? With that clear, logical conversation he was having.
I stabbed the dude on Christmas in the bar, right?
Wow. That was
screech.
Oh,
dear.
Wow. I got to go.
I mean, if you had confused it with like Suge Knight or something, at least you could have said, well, you're thinking about a rapper in the news or something like that, but with screech.
Yeah.
Something.
I didn't have my choice of mistakes to make. I just made a mistake. It's not like I went, which one's better?
Villain Knight's going to be running around stabbing people down there at Queen Mary?
We'll edit that out before we get on there.
Like hell you will.
Don't worry about it.
Ralph Garman, I want to show his beat.
Very excited to welcome Adi Shankar to the show. This is Adi's first appearance on the program, but he has been a Hollywood player for a long time as one of the most successful producers in the business. And now he's in the news because of his, what he's calling a fan film about the Power Rangers. Adi, welcome to the Kevin Beach on K-Rock. How are you?
I'm kind of nervous, actually.
Are you?
Yeah.
You're the big star here. We're the ones who should be nervous.
No, that's not true. You guys are the big stars.
Adi, over almost 13 million views on the Power Rangers YouTube video.
Just on YouTube, and then another 5 on like Facebook and Vimeo and just other platforms. It's like 18.
It's unbelievable. I mean, there are a lot of people who make movies that they make for theatrical release with big stars and big budgets that they put them in theaters and don't get 13 million people to go see them.
Absolutely. I mean, I had a movie with Ryan Reynolds come out like a few weeks ago that 13 million people didn't watch, or 18 million people didn't watch.
So we got so much ground we want to cover with you because you've been in the business for a long time. You've been so successful, and you're so young at it too, Adi. How old are you?
I turned 30 last month. Yeah,
unbelievable.
Really weird. I spent it by myself.
All right.
Yeah.
Is that good? It doesn't sound ideal.
No. I was actually doing publicity for this movie that I had coming out, and I was just on the phone with people. And
you're like, this is my birthday.
And
this is the big one.
And I would kind of drop that in there all the time, be like, yeah, it's my birthday, just so that they wouldn't like troll on me, you know, when they're writing, they'd be like, yeah, I feel bad for this guy.
Well, before we get to the Power Rangers and the new James Bond short that came out this morning, In Service of Nothing, can you tell us just a little bit about how you ended up as such a powerful producer in Hollywood? Like, how'd you get into the movie business?
It was just, you know, it was like a weird. I don't feel successful, by the way, you know, and I'm not just, that's not me just, I don't know.
But you've produced 3 or 4 number one films, right?
Yeah, but that lasts for like what? Like a few days, and then you go home and you stare at the four corners of the wall and go like, wow, I think everyone hates me.
Well, it's 4 more than I've produced.
Yeah. Hmm. You know, then there's the whole wearing face paint thing. In public.
Let's talk about that. Because I thought you were just going smoky eye, maybe something happened along the way. What exactly is this? What are you
hiding
from? It's
actual face paint. I'm not hiding from anything.
Okay.
In fact, I'm wearing my face on my face.
You're wearing your face on your face.
Right.
What do you mean by that?
For people that can't see your eye makeup or maybe don't know about it.
It's not makeup. It's war paint.
War paint.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of a joke. Yeah, it's totally makeup.
All right.
Totally
makeup. What's happening here? What's going on? Why are you wearing war paint?
In all seriousness,
yeah,
you know,
yes.
I'm Indian. This is not even my real. This is my American accent. Like, I'm talking to you with my American accent. Like, mm-hmm. When my mother calls me, I talk to her like this. Like, this is...
No.
This is
I don't believe a
word. 100%.
I don't even
think it's him.
You are lying.
This is how I speak when, like, my mother called me last night and I talked to her like this. So when I'm talking with this, you know, and as I've moved around the world, I realized, like, all right, as an Indian dude, you have 3 stereotypes that you can fit into. The
right.
First one is Apu from The Simpsons, which is completely offensive.
Right.
The second is a cab driver, which, again, is completely offensive. And the third one was actually the most egregious, right? It is that dude with the short haircut, wearing the suit, speaks very well, assimilates very well. Not really the top guy, but everyone likes him.
Right.
He's kind of a nerd. Never gets the girl. Right.
Okay.
And I'm like, all right. So I'm naturally going to fit into that third thing, and that's just not who I am. I don't. This isn't me like rebelling. It's just I don't.
So you're trying to create a new Indian persona that shatters the stereotypes that people want to put on you
totally.
When they meet you.
Totally. And I'm not trying to create it. I'm not trying to create it. It's just like, in a lot of ways, this is just who I am. I'm just kind of like. Wearing it again.
People, you know, can't see you have a lot of dark makeup around your eye, and then it looks like you know, like you were crying and it ran.
Yeah, like
like you should be in My Chemical Romance or something.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I think Vanderbeek or the Beak, as I call
the Beak,
him.
Sure.
The Beak like gave an interview last week, and they're like, "Yeah, how did you meet this guy?" He's like, "Well, you know, there was a Hollywood party, there's a bunch of guys in suits. And all of a sudden, I saw the crow sitting in the corner. And I was like, I want to talk to that guy.
So, Adi, when you conduct your Hollywood...
I thought Brandon Lee was
when you
was
conduct
gone.
Your Hollywood business, when you go into those meetings in, you know, down on Wilshire Boulevard on floor 28 with the president of a company, is this what you go in there with the makeup and the T-shirt and you're just you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's working for you.
Well, clearly.
I mean...
Yeah.
We'll see if it works next
week. I mean, more power to you.
You know what I mean? Like, I again, I wake up every day and I'm like, when are they going to find out and kick me out? Like,
Well, you're not exactly hiding with the eye makeup. I mean, it's not like you're hiding in.
But still, on some level, like there's an element of getting away with it, right?
Sure.
Like I'm like
sure, and you're having fun,
right? But I'm totally getting away with it.
All right, listen, we got derailed, and we have so many things we need to talk to you about. Adi Shankar is our guest here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I still haven't heard how you got into the movie business, because I know that there are a lot of people listening who would love to follow in your footsteps. So I want to talk about that. Then we want to talk about how the Power Rangers thing came to be and why James Vanderbeek should be the next great action hero, by the way, because he's phenomenal in the movie.
Oh, the Beak's the best.
The Beak is the best.
Beak is the Beak best. Is the best. Yeah. If you take one thing away from today's show, it's the Beak is the best.
Adi Shankar is our start, guest. And start calling him the Beak, because that needs to catch on.
All right.
I feel like I'm the only person who does that.
Well, we don't know him well enough, but if you give us permission, we'll call him the Beak.
Absolutely. Right. I think he's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks. When he comes on,
we call him the Beak.
More with Adi right after this at the Kevin and Bean Show on Q. Our guest is producer Adi Shankar here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm having trouble keeping up with all the conversations that are going on and off the air. I feel like we're getting into a lot of different topics, a lot of tentacles to you. Kevin was out of the room when I asked you this, Adi. Where have you lived in the world?
I was born in Calcutta, India. Then we moved to Madras, and then Bombay, and then China, then Singapore. My family moved to the Middle East a number of years ago. At the age of 16, I moved to Rhode Island, and obviously America, and then Chicago, and then I moved here.
How did you get to Rhode Island? That one seems like it's a bit of a stretch.
I was on a school trip in Cambodia. Because, you know, in Southeast Asia, everything's, like, really just smashed together.
Right.
So going to Cambodia is like driving to Vegas.
Right.
And then I got into trouble when I was there. And not a lot of trouble. Literally, it was something stupid. Like, I was talking to a girl.
Well, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So they sent you to Rhode Island.
Yeah.
To learn your lesson.
Right. But then I got into this boarding school, which was horrible. And then I I'd never seen the preppy culture before, you know, where people wear pink suits.
Right.
So I don't see
you fitting in there.
No, I didn't. It was horrible. Like, it was. I literally went to the school in Dead Poets Society.
Yeah, penny loafers.
It was the same thing. I went to the school in Dead Poets Society. I didn't know what was going on. And then my first day of school was, guess what day? 9/11.
Oh my God.
So I show up, and it's like all. I'm the only like non-white dude there. Which I never really noticed until
everyone's looking at you suspiciously.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Until I'm like, "What?
Does that guy?
Everyone is wearing pastels, and they're all looking at me like I'm the crazy one."
So Rhode Island, then Chicago, then Los Angeles. Now, did you make your way to Los Angeles because you were interested in the entertainment industry, or did you develop that interest once you got here?
No, that was actually my master plan, because I didn't want to return. You know, to Southeast Asia, because I love this country, because it's like you can actually, like, you know, there's like freedom of speech, and there's no real class system. I mean, there is a class system, but it's not like you work at Taco Bell and I work in a bank, so I'm so much cooler than you. It's like everywhere, like, you know, like it is everywhere else in the world. Like, so I really wanted to stay here, and I wanted to express myself, and the entertainment industry was the only way I could do that.
And you're young enough to have started being able to express yourself via the internet, which a generation before there wouldn't have been a way to do that. And you harnessed the power of the internet and how democratic that is, and started making movies early on.
Yeah. And you know, I was able to research things before I even moved out here. I remember, you know, there's this thing called the Blacklist, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I memorized.
These are the best unproduced screenplays that 100%, are circulating around Hollywood.
100%. And I memorized every script on the Blacklist, the name of every writer, and then I read every script before I'd even step foot in L.A. So when I was, like, trying to meet people and stuff, and they were like, this guy doesn't know anything. But then I would, like, know this stuff, and then I'd be like, whoa.
So you fake it till you make it. That's
totally
what you do.
300%. And then, you know, then the face paint kind of throws them off.
Sure. How long have you had the face paint for?
Yeah, for a while.
For a long time? Uh-huh. Since you moved to America?
No.
You couldn't have had it in prep school.
Not in prep school. Yeah. In prep school, like, they were like, what? You don't have an L.L. Bean jacket? I'm like, what?
What a terrible place for a guy
I literally nearly got expelled the night before I nearly got expelled because they were like, you're doing drugs. I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't even know what drugs look like. And
Why did they think you were doing drugs?
This is hilarious. They said I, quote-unquote, have dark circles under my eyes, which is a sign of drug use. True story.
Wow.
And I'm like, yo, that's genetic. Like, my mom has dark circles under her eyes. Like, that's an Indian thing. They've just never seen an Indian person before. There's a boarding school called St. George's, by the way, on Newport, Rhode Island. You guys should look it up and send them hate mail.
Well, Chip and Muffy probably didn't have dark circles.
That's probably true, yeah.
Sure. All right, so, Adi, we're going to get to derailed here if I don't just try to steer a little bit. So your first bootleg that you make, if I can call it that, you actually were able to get Thomas Jane to reprise his role as the Punisher.
Yeah.
Like, how does a newbie in town, how do you wrangle an actual star to star in an internet fan film?
Well, I'd done some other stuff before that, like in the movie thing, and then in the movie, like I'd made some. I don't want to use the word real movies because in a lot of ways these internet content is going to be real movies pretty soon, or if they're not
especially
already,
if they're made like the ones you did.
Woohoo!
The Power
Thank
Rangers,
you.
Yeah.
I know. I just knew Tom, and I would always like talk about how much I would wear a Punisher T-shirt. A lot, and I'm wearing a Power Rangers T-shirt right now, but I would wear a Punisher T-shirt. And
right.
We would just talk about that movie and comic books.
Was it easy to talk him into doing it, or no?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he wanted to do it. He's like, "Hey, pal, I didn't really like that Punisher." I'm doing a Tom Jane, doing a terrible Tom Jane impression.
Yeah, that is not a Tom Jane impression.
No,
you think it is? It's not.
Yeah.
How did you get Katie and
the Beak
for
Vander
your Power
Beak.
Rangers movie?
Well, the Beak's one of my, my best friends out here. So that was just like literally a conversation. He was, I was telling him about. He's like, "Well, what else are you working on?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna do another bootleg." He's like, "Oh, dude, can I?"
He wanted to be in it.
Yeah,
before
he wanted.
You knew
he
what
want,
it was?
Yeah, yeah. He wanted to be in it. And I was like, "Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome. And I'd like be an honor to have you." Because I didn't want to like mix. I mean, making a bootleg is not business, but I didn't want to like. He's one of my best friends, so I didn't want to like
mix
potentially
business
screw up
pleasure.
The friendship. Right. I didn't want to mess up the friendship, right. And I literally kept telling him like, "Dude, literally the day before we start shooting, if you want to bail, I'm totally cool. Like me and you being boys is more important to me than you being in this unauthorized fan film."
Right. Now let's talk about the unauthorized fan film. Let's talk about Power Rangers. How did you get that idea?
And Katie I knew, so I just kind of emailed her.
She's awesome.
Yeah. She's great person. So I knew Katie and I just shot her an email. I'm like, "Hey, you want to be in this?" And she's like, "Yeah." How did I get the hour to Power Rangers?
Yeah.
I actually had this idea when I was 7 because I'm a massive Power Ranger fan, right?
Right.
And I would like go to the kids in school, and this is like before the internet, so all your TV shows you would just kind of see on TV and then talk about it at school.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I would always like lie to the kids and be like, "Yeah, I saw this like secret episode that no one else saw of Captain Planet where all the Planeteers died and they're actually like eco-terrorists and Captain Pollution runs the world and they're fighting, they're being hunted and they like lost." And I would tell these dark stories and I would do that about Captain Planet. I'd do that about Power Rangers. And I would get into trouble for that stuff because like the parents one day complained and they were like, this kid's like telling our.
This kid is far too creative for my child to be listening to.
Well,
were you disturbing the other kids?
Yeah, I was disturbing the other kids because I was like, "Yeah, man, the Red Ranger got shot in the head and he died." And they were like, "What?"
Now, in terms of actually doing
I had
this,
an overactive imagination that as a kid.
But
and,
that's what leads to this
right.
being, it doesn't look like a fan film. It looks like a studio release film. It is amazing quality.
It's yeah, well, that's, true. You know, that's all Joseph Kahn, the director. He's, you know, he's the man. Like,
I feel like you had something to do with it.
Yeah, a little bit.
No, I just
Biggest creative you are.
I just painted my face.
Paint your face.
Now, when you were first approached about taking it down, take me through that.
Well, I wasn't approached. I was
you were
taken.
Told.
It was,
yeah.
It was taken
yeah,
down.
It was taken down.
It was taken down. It was really funny. Like I was supposed to go on Huffington Post Live to just kind of talk about it, right?
Right.
And it's like a live interview, and I'm actually like super shy. So that's the other thing. I'm like, super
oh, we
shy.
Can tell that.
I'm supposed to go on Huffington Post Live. I'm talking to like my friend Jenny about like, I don't know, like her guy issues or whatever. We were just chatting, and I'm just like hanging out. 3 minutes before I'm supposed to go on air, the Beat calls me, and I'm like, oh, is, you know,
wishing me well?
Yeah. So he calls me. He's like, dude, it got taken down. I'm like, oh, great. Here we go.
And three,
here
two,
we go.
One.
Three, two, one.
How long was it up? How long was it up before it got taken down?
It was like a little over 2 days.
Okay. And how did you get it back up?
They let me put it back up.
They
were fine. Everything's cool. Everything's cool.
So it just got taken down, and then everybody went, okay, put it back up?
I'm not really allowed to talk about it.
Okay.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
It seemed like, if I remember from the first time I watched it to the second time, it seems like you did add a bunch of legalese at the beginning about how nobody was making money and it was fan fiction and you weren't trying to infringe on anybody's copyright. I mean, is that kind of part of what made it more accessible? Acceptable, excuse me, to the people who own the Power Rangers?
Can we just talk more about the Beak?
Okay, all right.
Really,
our guest is Adi Shankar here in the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, we did put the Power Rangers video. You can see it in lots of places. Just search on YouTube, or you can. I think it's on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page as well. We also want to talk about the James Bond short, and also we are going to want to get some advice from you, because we have a lot of people who listen to us who are dying to do what you do and be in the movie business. And you've got a lot of good ideas and good advice. Would you mind sharing some of that when we return to our listeners?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like I'm in a place to do it, but yeah.
You are, and we'll do it next.
Our guest is Adi Shankar here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We are talking about, among other things, his Power Rangers fan fiction video that has now, I don't know, it's got to be, what, 18 million people maybe have seen in the last couple weeks, Adi, about that? Is that what you figure?
Yeah, since it dropped last Tuesday.
What is it, 15 minutes? How long is it?
It's like 14.
14 minutes?
14, yeah.
Adi is a movie producer, by the way. He's been behind such films as The Gray and Dread and Broken City and Lone Survivor. A lot of success as a very young person. And you just put a new one up this morning that involves James Bond. Now, it seems like, once again, you're begging to be sued once you start putting James Bond stuff up online. I mean, they're pretty protective of their copyright, right?
Yeah, but it's a parody. It's not, you know, it's fan fiction. Like...
And you're not making any money on it. That's the key.
Money off of it. It's just, you know, it's. I'm extrapolating. I'm going like, okay, like this James Bond guy, right? We glorify him as a society,
right?
But really, he's just a serial killer, an alcoholic serial killer with mommy issues, who has been given a license to kill. And at some point, that license is going to get revoked, and he's going to become an old dude. And he's not just going to retire with a gold watch and just go home and, like, you know, and sit behind a desk. Like, he's going to flip out, and we have a problem as a society where we weaponize people, and then years later they come back and do something, and then all of a sudden we're like, how did that happen? And it keeps and it keeps happening. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, Michael Jackson or Justin Bieber or something, although I think, wow, I didn't mean to, you know what I'm saying?
It's got much more complex.
I'm talking about, like, real, like the wars we're fighting and stuff, and
right.
You know, that's what I'm talking about.
So there was a facet of the James Bond experience that we'll never see in the legitimate movies.
Right.
And that's what you wanted to explore.
100%.
Yeah. We haven't had a chance to see this one yet because it literally was released this morning since we've been on the air.
Right.
But that's up and available on your YouTube channel, or just or just Google James Bond in service of nothing and people will find it, right?
Or just Google Adi Shankar, ADI Shankar. It is on my YouTube page with the Power Rangers thing and the Punisher short and stuff. Yeah,
what's the plan? You're not making any money on these. You're just doing it for the love of it, or?
Yeah, this is just a form of self-expression. You know, I'm
is it for furthering your career as
I only ask that
because it's so well done. You must have put a tremendous amount of time into it.
Well, I'm not an ambitious person, right? Like,
yeah,
that's
what are you talking about?
No, I'm being serious. I'm not an ambitious person. I'm doing things purely for self-expression.
Okay.
And this is like, I'm only on this planet for a very finite period of time, and like I'm not motivated by money or having like a big house or having like a supercharged car or like, you know, any of that stuff. This is fun for me. This is how I gain enjoyment. I sit at home and I, you know, think like, well, yeah, the Power Rangers are really, you know, child soldiers. That's what they are. And this is just me expressing myself. you know, I
think that's weird to hear because in this city, in Los Angeles, people are trying any way they can, being referenced it earlier, to get into the movie business. You're already in it, obviously. But it just seems like that would be a good reason to make this, but you have no interest in – people already know what you can do, and you have no interest in building on that.
Yeah, I'm not trying to, like, get anything from anyone or like, you know, hold anyone down or – I don't know. Like,
but you're in Hollywood. That's what you're
supposed to do. I'm not really in Hollywood, though. I'm not really in Hollywood. Like, it's not – you know what I mean? I'm just kind of – I kind of, like, operate on my own island with my – friends.
I think with this too, you are setting a precedent that your art, your creativity cannot be suppressed no matter how they try. It's still up there now. So whether you put a legalese, that type of thing at the beginning of it, you're now opening doors to a whole new group of filmmakers that wants to do the same thing. Whether you realize it or not, you're trailblazing.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's kind of weird that we live in a world where our culture is owned by a handful of corporations and we can't comment on it. Like the whole part of the whole point of the human experience is you wake up, your reality is the kaleidoscope of sounds and images that burn your retina when, you know, through the course of your life. And when you're expressing yourself, you're drawing on your experiences, and such a large part of your experiences and who we are as people are our myths, are our cultural icons. Yet right. Our myths and our cultural icons are owned, and then we're told, "No, you can't comment on it. No, you can't do that." Like,
is there, Adi, an original story that you are burning to tell as a film?
Yeah, all the time. All the time.
Have you produced any movies or had any movies made that draw from that well of original ideas of things that you're dying
that
to
I'm passionate
there?
About? Like I had this movie come out on February 6th called The Voices. It you know, stars Ryan Reynolds and Anna Kendrick.
My wife got that this weekend on demand. By the way,
she like it.
She said it was honked up.
Yeah.
No, yeah, she said it was very funny, but it was honked up.
Honked up makes me want to see it.
It's basically like a horror version of Garfield the Cat or a horror version of Dr. Dolittle where there's this dude and he's talking to all the animals and it's kind of funny and he's trying to go on a date with a girl at the office. But then part of the way through, he realizes he's actually mentally unbalanced and it becomes a movie about mental illness because he thinks he's talking to the cat, but the cat doesn't actually talk. And then you see the world.
Yeah, it's a very dark comedy, I'm told.
And then you see this world that it's like colorful and bright and happy. And then he goes on his medication, and the world sucks, and it's dark, it's depressing. It becomes the girl with the dragon tattoo, and he's a serial killer.
That's all one movie.
It's all one movie, yeah.
Wow. You accomplish a lot.
I think you may need to check out The Voices, Allie. It sounds like when you get home today.
I acted in it too.
Oh,
I had braces. Yeah, I put braces in my mouth and. I did the whole movie in an Indian accent.
I'm so angry.
Well, this has been a fascinating talk, and I feel like we've just scratched the surface, Adi. I'm glad you got a chance to come in today. Any place you want to direct people to online if they want more or to follow you?
Yeah, Google this gentleman by the name of Ian Somerhalder. He looks airbrushed. He literally looks airbrushed.
Right.
You should Google him.
He's very dreamy.
Very dreamy. You know, actually, I was on this high because of the Power Rangers short, right?
Right.
And then I go to the grocery store on Sunday, and of all people in the world to bump into, Ian Somerhalder. Mm-hmm. Literally, my self-esteem came crashing down. I texted a bunch of people. I texted Photosynthesis. I texted... And the amount of actors that I have text message chains going where we just send photos of Ian Somerhalder to each other.
Well, is one of those people that we've had him in, too, where you just go, okay, he's a lot better than I am.
Yeah. Just in everything.
Everything about him is better than me.
Yeah. He's like, man, okay. I've been traveling. It's like, how have you been traveling? You're ripped. When I travel, I get fat.
And he's super cool on top of it, which doesn't help.
And he's trying to save the planet.
Right. I know. I just wish I yeah. Oh,
it's nonsense.
Hate that guy. All right. I want to be
him. Listen, Adi,
I love you.
We're out of time. Thank you so much for coming, and we really enjoyed it, dude.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:56.
So you're telling me the women tell all, Ralph?
Oh, did they ever. They didn't hold anything back. They told all.
Well, can't wait. Bachelor Report with Petros Papadakis and Ralph Garman coming up right after the top of the hour. Actor Dash Mihok next hour as well. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Flass was back last night.
Yep.
Bastard.
Gotham.
Oh, Commissioner Loeb. How do we stop you?
And he's Bunchy on Ray Donovan.
The best.
Is he ever. Poor Bunch.
Yeah, Bunch had a rough ride.
Riding around his little kid bicycle and stuff, just being all touched.
Yeah,
that's not good for anybody. That's no way to live a life.
That's no way to live a life.
Remember
no
that time he said Vanilla Ice stabbed that guy?
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
Drunk and confused.
That was dumb.
He's a dummy.
Please stay on track, Ralph.
Oh, sorry.
Judge Judy. Guilty.
She's not charged
with
anything.
It'd be awesome, wouldn't it, though?
It would be. She was found to be like a serial killer or a drug dealer or something. But instead, she's just Judge Judy. That's her only crime. She has just been renewed her contract with CBS Television Distribution, mm-hmm. the syndicated arm of CBS TV.
That's and baloney.
They do wonderful
it
work.
It doesn't make
way.
Sense.
I'm all for CBS's Television Distribution Division. They do excellent work, and they're all fine, shiny, happy people. She will be starring in Judge Judy through the 2019-2020 season.
Wow.
This deal adds three more seasons to her existing contract, which would have expired at the end of the 2017
season. How long has she been on,
season.
Ralph? Do you know offhand?
Let me peruse this article really quickly. It does.
I know
say
that
here.
She her name is always on the list of the
now
highest
it's 19th
paid
season,
people on television.
19th season.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
She is the undisputed number one first-run syndicated series by a wide margin. An average of 10.3 million viewers each week when she's on the air. Here's the thing. Her previous deal was for $47 million a year under her previous contract. This, they have no actual number, but they say it was a significant increase in her salary.
Well, she's got to eat. She has to eat.
So these additional 3 years could be, they say, maybe in the estimate of $60 million a year.
This is a 72-year-old woman.
Right.
Good for you, Judy.
What is she going to do with all that money?
Good stuff.
What good stuff? She should give it to me. I could use it. I could use. She's not going to use it. She's 72.
She could give you a year's salary and never miss it.
Exactly.
And it would change your life forever.
That's my point.
This is because she owns the show, right? Is that the difference between like
I think so.
An employee and...
It is.
I think it's hers.
It is her show under her Queen Bee Productions banner. Which launched another successful court show this season, a second one called Hot Bench.
Hot Bench?
Yeah.
And that's where supermodels rule?
That's the court I want to go to.
I'd like to go to that one.
Hot Bench.
Hot Bench. That's where you sit on a glass bench and you get underneath
nope.
it.
Nope.
They bring a,
that's,
they bring a German
nope,
girl in.
Doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's
doesn't
the hot bench.
That's different.
That's the
that's
hot
a
bench.
Very different
I
hot
had
bench.
The hot bench once.
That's very
at
different.
At a Denmark brothel, I had the hot bench.
I don't think Judge Judy is involved in that hot bench.
I hope not.
Not interested, sir.
Me neither, Jude.
You know, the thing about Judge Judy is, I like her. I like her show. Never watch it. It's just part of the scenery, that show.
When it comes on, I stick on it.
Do
you?
Yeah, because she's grouchy.
She's riveting. She's great television.
She's
grouchy.
She calls people on their nonsense.
But I think what I'm saying is I feel like...
That's baloney, she says to
people. I feel like you watch one Judge Judy episode, you've pretty much seen them all for life. You know what I mean?
You know what the difference is? She's always the same. But the idiots are ever-changing. It's a never-ending parade of fools that just walk through that courtroom. And it's just very entertaining to see someone with her disposition slap them down.
And she says,
so you get Zippo, nada.
That's right, Zippo.
Get out of my court. I love her.
I love her, too.
She does demand to be treated with the respect of a real judge, though. I'll tell you
that. Well, she is a real judge.
Well, she's a retired judge, though. She's not
right,
a real judge.
But she was.
Yeah.
And this
I
but
want
just...
you to answer my question.
Yeah, Bean.
She definitely puts people in their place.
She's intimidating. Just those clips are
missing. I know. I feel like I'm all in the wrong right now.
Well,
which is probably
in your case. That's probably a safe bet.
Yeah.
We're out of time already. What the hell?
Oh, come on.
What? You guys had to spend an hour and a half with Alice Cooper? You couldn't talk to me for 6 minutes? What was that? What was that makeup he was wearing? Was all about?
That's his thing, man.
That's his thing, man. It's going to be my thing now.
Is this your new policy, Kevin?
Yep.
You're just going to repeat what Bean says?
Whatever Bean says. I don't step in it.
Whatever Bean says.
So I don't step in it like last hour.
Today's celebrity birthday. Yolandi Visser. Yolandi Visser.
I've already forgotten who
I've
she
already
she
forgotten
is.
Who she is.
She is from Die Antwoord. And she's also one of the actresses in Chappie.
That's right.
She's 31 years old today. Jessica Biel's 33. And Julie Bowen is 45. And Tone Loc is 49.
Took it to the hotel. She said, you're the king. So be my queen if you know what I mean. And let's do the wild thing.
Wow. I know I say this every year, Ralph, but baby, I'm still proud of the fact that K-Rock was the first radio station in the world to play Wild Thing by Tone Loc.
Well,
how'd that happen?
That's back when we were all R&B's greatest hits.
That's right.
That's right, man.
The station that everyone could agree on.
Right. Remember, I think Art LeBeau broke it on the afternoon show.
That's
here.
That's right. I did. Well, I'm going to reiterate because I'm very excited that on April 25th, down at the Queen Mary, they're going to have the 10th annual Freestyle Festival.
Who's in it?
And Tone Loc will be on the lineup, along with Debbie Deb, Stacey Q, CC Music Factory, Cover Girl Shannon, Young MC, Lisa, Sans the Cult, Trinier, Sir Mix-a-Lot, Tone Loc, as I mentioned, and Vanilla Ice will all be there.
So. That's a hell of a lineup.
It is a hell of a lineup. I'm going to go down. I think I'm going to go. I am. I'm going to go. I'm going to get a Raiders jersey first. I'm going to buy a Raiders jersey first, and then I'm going to go just to protect myself. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I feel like it's going well.
Do you?
I'd like to put that up there.
And you're basing that on?
Just my feeling. I feel like it's going well.
Hey, Kevin Amin's April Fool's Show 2015 just announced yesterday morning at the Shrine on April 4th. Don't miss it. Tenacious D, Gabriel Iglesias, Ralphie May, Adam Ray, Eliza Schlesinger, Brad Williams. House music by our friend Mike Realm. Tickets are going on sale Friday at noon. Proceeds benefiting the Fisher House and Cedar Sinai NICU. Please go to krock.com for details. It's Tuesday morning, you guys. It's just after 8 o'clock. That means it's time for the Bachelor Report.
It's time. We got the Big P and Garman, and they watch The Bachelor, so you don't have to, man. Girls drinking, hallelujah.
Woo-hoo.
Girls crying, hallelujah.
Woo-hoo.
Girls crazy, hallelujah.
Woo-hoo.
The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to ya. The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to ya. The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to ya. The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
What a show last night. P, are you with me? The Girls Telling All made it all worthwhile.
Yeah, The Girls Tell All is always a pretty good diversion from the end of The Bachelor, which is kind of just a lot of lovey-dovey tears and hand-holding. And it brings us the drama we crave from the early part of the season.
And the crazy, which was really on display last night.
We got to discuss that, though, Ralph. I'm thinking that she must work for The Onion or something.
You don't buy it?
No, I don't buy it. No one's that weird. And you know what? If she is, that we're talking about Ashley S., who's this seemingly a whack job, this girl. Who's not an ugly girl.
No, she's beautiful.
Beautiful girl, but mentally touched or completely Joaquin Phoenixing everybody. And I'll tell you what. If she really is mentally ill, shame on the freaking Bachelor for making a display, an exploitive display of her. But I don't buy it, Ralph. Come on, do you?
Well, Allie McKay's point was that she said she watched a little bit last night, and you said what? You were disturbed by that,
right? I said either she is off her meds, which, again, shame on them for promoting that and letting her do that, or she's pretending to be off her meds, so shame on her and shame on them for letting them do that.
It's a lot of shame going on.
No upside.
It really upset me. I was on a Gotham high, then I switched over right at 9. Good Lord, you people waste your time watching this crap.
Let's kick things off at the beginning of the show.
It's only a two-hour show.
That's all right.
It's
2 hours.
Next week it's 3, though. Don't forget.
Oh.
Britt took her lumps at the beginning of the show, P. They really came after poor Britt.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm still reacting to the collective sigh from everybody when you said next week is 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know, Britt is a really good-looking girl.
Yes.
But as you know, and I might have been on a bad phone way back in the first Bachelor Report, but I reported on Britt that she went to a tattoo parlor. Mm-hmm. She's like a God squatter.
Right.
She went to a tattoo parlor, asked for a cross she saw off the wall, got the tattoo on the small of her back,
right,
and then realized it was a Scientology cross and then had to have it removed.
Yeah.
So
strong.
She's not really operating from a place of mental command.
Well, I'm guessing that's why you guys watch.
But yeah, but she's also very attractive.
Very attractive. Right. And even Jade, one of the last girls standing towards the end.
This is Playboy Jade, right?
Playboy Jade. She called Britt out on some stuff.
Was Britt real?
or was she being fake on the show?
There was a couple instances where I questioned her authenticity with Chris. It was just like whatever he was. It was just like whatever he was saying, you were just acting like you were totally supportive when you weren't supportive in the house.
So she's a smoking hot girl who just says, agrees with whatever you say? She's the perfect woman! If she disagrees with me but says she agrees with me, that's what I want!
That's fine.
Support me!
Come on, I think the girls knew the truth. I think they all knew the truth in their own hearts, and they just blamed each other for it. Basically, nobody wants to move to freaking Arlington, Iowa, where there's 200 people. The winner here is the loser. They were just basking in the glory of the show for a while. My thing is just these girls all had questions ready for Chris because he rejected everyone that was on the show last night.
Right.
And where was the plus size model?
Yeah, good point.
What, she wasn't there?
Invite her back. Let me see her. Just let me see her in the background. You don't even have to let her talk.
Just have her grazing behind the other contestants.
Yeah, you know.
Wow. Wow, Bean.
He's a farmer.
Oh, that's a Bean Nancy.
Okay.
Amazing.
My bad, silly woman.
Jillian, the bodybuilder, she was on a tear. She was in roid rage form last night.
Uh-oh.
She was angry at Carly for taking on Brit, and there was just a lot of screaming from the very large, buff bodybuilder, Jillian.
No one really knew you, and I'll never forget being in the limo on the way to, like, the mud run, and you just, like, bashing me in front of Chris, like, trying to embarrass me in front of him. Well, and, like, Nikki can attest to that.
I was there. That's very true.
Oh, Jillian has a d***. Oh, Jillian's a man. And I thought that so insecure of you. And then when I saw you attack Britt, but by far the sweetest, most pure heart person I've ever met in my life. I mean, she's a positive person. Because she's so beautiful inside and out. Your insecurity and your jealousy just shine through.
Right.
And for
Jillian,
you to act like you're
Jillian,
our friends.
Jillian.
It's just disgusting.
Jillian.
It was disgusting.
Jillian.
She's whistling.
You're a little jacked up.
I was just
you're a little jacked up.
It just happens. It's my nature.
Yeah. It's my nature.
Ralph NP, how does Chris Harrison do at moderating these wackos for the women tell all?
He's great.
I have to agree that he does a good job of moving the show along.
All right. Wow.
But it's way too much Harrison waving his tiny hands around like an authority.
Stop it! Harrison is the best. Although I was saddened that he didn't ask Britt about the showering thing. Why don't you shower? I would have asked that if I was
Yeah, that
was
does Harrison. Seem like it's an important thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure he blogged it somewhere.
Dare
but,
you.
Yeah, but also, how about him promoting his book at the end? Did you like that, Ralph? Turns out Harrison wrote a romance novel for the loneliest of women in Middle America. thank you for taking on the occupation of Voltaire, Harrison. Thank you for taking on the occupation of Norman Mailer. How dare you? And how small are the Hello Kitty pins he has to write with for those tiny and hands?
I do not understand your cartoon hate for
his hands.
Ralph, he said he was going to punch me in the face with those little mosquito hands on this air, on your show. And you want me to take
no, because you always take shots at him for no reason.
He's got mosquito hands. That's what I hear.
From the guy in the Whopper commercial who won't order a Whopper. Because it makes his hands look smaller.
Since when do we judge people by the size of their hands?
Since Harrison. That's since when.
Then Kelsey, the Black Widow, was on.
Yeah.
And she is universally hated. Everyone hates her. I think Harrison hates her, too.
She killed her ex-husband? Or
well,
he died?
We think she killed him, allegedly.
Okay. Right. She leans on the death so hard.
Oh, she uses
and
that death.
You can't help but sort of feel bad for her because, you know, the guy did die.
Yeah, but then she said, I love my story. This is a great story.
I have
story.
An amazing story.
Yeah.
So she does. She trades on it, and it's hideous. Here's Harrison asking her if she's aware that she's universally unliked.
Do you know why the women dislike you so much?
I think there are a lot of reasons. Honestly, I've heard that I am condescending and that I use big words, and I've heard...
Yeah, they hate me because my vocabulary is so strong.
Same.
You clueless fool.
Same here.
Yeah, it's Kevin. That's why Kevin is hated, too. Too smart.
Just too smart for the room.
Shut up, P. But then we did have Ashley S., the crazy one, come out with an onion. She was carrying an onion.
Okay.
Because she was talking about on the show how people are like onions and you need to pull back the layers. And now she is an onion grower.
Okay.
I just have to say it's like, boom. I brought you a hosting gift.
Have a seat. A hosting gift.
Yeah. I was inspired by the show. So I started growing onions.
So from the time you got off the show, you really have started growing onions.
Yeah, I really have.
She's crazy.
She doesn't even sound like she's selling it.
But that's why I didn't think she's really crazy, because she's not, like, forcing anything. She just talks and says, yeah, well, maybe an angel will get the rose this time. Well, I like onions. I think onions are great. She's just...
How does she get dressed? How does she put her makeup on? You know, there's no way.
Maybe the angels put her makeup on. Chris Harrison asked her on the show last night in front of the audience. I've never seen him do this before. Please come back and do Bachelor in Paradise. Come do our other reality show where we put all the crazy people on an island.
Right.
And the crowd loved that idea.
It's so weird.
What is?
Just that we're on TV.
She's completely out of it. She's confused by everything all the time.
She's the best.
There is no way. There's no way that she is the way she portrays herself.
She's
on that
the
show.
Female me.
No, not even close. I mean, she's a complete space cadet. Like, there's no way. I think it's a total. Remember that guy Sanjaya, and he turned out to be an art student.
Yes.
Yeah. From
this
American
is like
Idol.
That.
Right.
She's like an art student at NYU, and there's a bunch of hipsters in an apartment in Brooklyn somewhere laughing at this.
But P and Ralph, I want to ask you both. It seems like the fact that they're crazy is what makes it entertaining.
Of course.
Yes or no?
Yes.
P?
Well, who else would go on TV and sit there and talk about their journey with a guy who is basically stoned at the line of scrimmage by any logical question? I mean, this Chris the Bachelor is really a dullard. I mean, I have no other way. I don't know how else to describe it. He doesn't seem like a bad guy. He just seems, like, very vacant.
Just nothing going on.
How are his hands, P?
His hands are the hands of a farming man who could grab a woman and take her.
So he's got good hands.
Yeah.
Okay.
Harrison, he grabs a woman and she thinks it's a kindergartner running up on her.
All right. That's enough. Next week, the three-hour...
You're up for that with the hands at the end.
The three-hour finale of The Bachelor, where we find out who Prince Farming Chris Soules chooses to be his
and
mate forever and ever.
And then who's not going to move to Iowa, however he lives.
Dare you.
The last two girls suck.
Okay, good.
The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
We know him and love him as Bunchy on Ray Donovan. He is also Detective Arnold Flass on TV's Gotham. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Dash Myhawk back on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Dash!
How are you?
How you been, man?
Thank you for having me. I'm good. I'm really good.
You know, let's not forget, in his vast body of work, I only found this out because last week we were talking about Will Smith movies. We were giving away some movie tickets to his new movie, and we're going through the Will Smith movies, and I'm combing through them for trivia and stuff, and I find out, how did I not know this, that you were the head mutant in I Am Legend?
Some of my best work.
Just Dash just screaming his full head off, just being all mutiny.
Let me tell you something. That getting into one of those body stockings where you do for motion capture is one of the most humbling moments.
You walk out in your tights.
I had all these like dancers behind me that had been training for 6 months to be monsters, and right. They called me and they're like, "We want you to be the head monster." And I'm like, "And Will Smith's in the best shape of his life."
Right.
And I come in and I'm like, with my gut out, and you can see everything. I'm telling you.
No, did you spend the whole
monster?
Did you spend the whole time like trying to suck your gut in?
Oh yeah. And then you're just screaming like going and banging yourself against the wall. I mean, it was an experience.
What do you think of Will Smith, Dash?
I love Will Smith.
Fun guy to work with?
Yeah, really fun guy to work with. Man,
he's got a lot of charisma.
A little bit.
Yeah, he's all right.
The tad.
He's doing okay for himself. Yeah. All right, I didn't mean to derail the conversation, but I was so surprised to find out that was Dash behind that pasty white mutant face.
Let's talk Gotham for a second.
Please.
You're back.
Yeah. Well, that's what I know. I'm back.
Last night you were back. You're out of
prison.
Yeah, I'm
out of
prison.
Out of prison. And I'm going to cause a little trouble. Mm-hmm. We'll see. You know, I'm always causing trouble on Ray, on everything.
It's not on Ray. You're the victim on Ray. You're the guy. You're the guy everybody's trying to protect and take care of. You're the puppy we all love on Ray.
But they're killing wrong priests because of him, and things are going.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's. I'm responsible.
You're stealing bikes. Their stuff out.
But it doesn't seem like your character is aware of that.
No, but what addict is, you know?
Yeah, really.
Right.
What did you? A lot of people were, you know, are pleasantly surprised with how great Gotham is because it was, you know, for many people it was a tough sell that they were going to do a pre Batman Bruce Wayne story. What were your thoughts when you first heard about the universe of Gotham that they were asking you to inhabit?
I was excited. I mean, especially because it's so far away from Ray, and stylistically it's done differently. And you know, I think that's a really cool world, and they do it really well for network television.
Yeah, agreed. Was there we're doing something that's sort of sacred to a bunch of people, and they might get angry if we don't do it well?
Yeah, no, I'm Bruno, who runs it, has been sticking to it as best as he can, and you know, also these characters have to come in and out, and we don't know how long the show is going to go for. Right. So it's a very tricky process to be true to the comic and still continue to run a 22 episode TV show per year.
How far in advance do you know? Like last night, you came back, you were going up for the GCPD Policeman's Union president. Didn't work out. But I don't think that's the last we'll see of you. How far in advance are your scripts?
I have no idea next.
I see.
It's kind of hard because you're trying to do both, right? You're trying to work over there and also do it at the same time. Yeah. So schedule-wise.
And it's in New York and we're out here, so it's been kind of hopping back and forth a little bit. Yep.
But you've got to introduce us to... No. Ridley.
Okay. Oh, well... When does the Riddler? Oh, we have, all the guys are coming out this year.
Yeah, they're hitting them hard. We saw the Joker.
My buddy Cam. He's great. That kid.
He's a terrific actor. Terrifying.
Yeah.
But it seems like the strength of the show is they're not handcuffed by the mythology. You know, obviously they pay homage to it and it colors the background of the stories. But at its essence, it's just a really good cop show. You know, and it's about the relationship between Donald and Ben and guys like you coming in and out. But it must have been fun for you to play a character which is the diametrically opposed from Bungie, like a smart, badass, sinister, sort of clever guy who's causing trouble.
Yeah, no, exactly. When they were like, you want to come play a villain? I was like, yes. I love Bungie, but I'd like to get away from it.
This is the voice of actor Dash Myhawk here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about, among other things, Ray Donovan, also Gotham. And you are here today with big news about an event that is called Hollywood Heals. Tell us about it.
Well... I have been working with the Tourette Syndrome Association since I was about 11. I have Tourette Syndrome, so they're the end all for families. They really they support, they educate, they raise money for research. You know, it's hard. It's not a terminal illness, and it's much misinformed. So.
It's not as sexy a charity angle as going for, you know, breast cancer or something like that.
Yeah, but I, you know, we started this event last year and we wanted to make it fun and have a good time and have a lot of music. And so we're doing it at the House of Blues before it closes. And soon, when is it closing? Soon, right?
Soon. They're going to tear it down.
We need another hotel down there on Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and I called a bunch of good friends up who said, yeah, we'll come through and I'm going to do a 30-minute set with a really amazing band, and Mickey Echo's going to perform, and Valeria Mason, and Karis Dorsey, who's my niece on Ray, Sean Vanderwilt, and Carlos Guevara, and, you know, if you want tickets, I'll tell you later how to get them.
We need to take a break. We'll be right back. Actor Dash Myhawk in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about Ray Donovan, talking about Gotham, talking about an event coming up Thursday night at the House of Blues on Sunset. One of your last chances to get into that beautiful historic building. It's Hollywood Heals, a spotlight on Tourette Syndrome to benefit the Tourette Syndrome Association. I know we talked about this with you last time you were on, Dash, but you've had Tourette's your whole life. You have mostly physical tics, not verbal tics, right?
When I was a kid, as they are with most cases, they're worse. And I had vocal tics when I was younger, but now very, very rare.
What causes Tourette's? Is it some sort of a misfire in the brain or
it's
what?
It's actually a chemical imbalance, much like, you know, serotonin and dopamine levels are off, you can get Tourette syndrome, or you can go the other way, you can get Parkinson's. So we're still trying to figure out why.
And how's it coming with research? Is there some promising work being done on it?
There is, but not enough, and that's why we're having this event, you know, to really get it out there, to raise money, to force people to, and the government to give us some money so we can find a cure. I think it's a lot easier than it needs to be. I mean, than it is already. And there's a lot of families and especially young people that are suffering from this, and I don't think they need to. So,
how many people in America is it estimated have Tourette syndrome?
I believe it's 1 in 100.
Wow. Wow. That's a lot of people.
A lot of people. 1 in 100 have some form of tic, of Tourette's.
And it can manifest in any number of different ways, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's physical, vocal. You know, the misconception is that people curse all the time. That's like a very small percentage that have coprolalia. But
did you see that South Park episode?
I did.
Cartman just learns that you can get away with saying anything by saying you have Tourette's.
And it's funny, and we can laugh at it. Trust me, people with Tourette's, we all make fun of ourselves. But it's not funny when you're, you know, I think I said last time, I can make a movie, but I can't watch one, you know. You're in the theater, and you're just being stimulated, and when you're at rest is when they come on. So while I'm acting or while I'm performing on stage, like, they don't,
you're so focused.
Because
you're
your so mind, focused. Body... Yeah. Spirit is so focused on what you're doing that you actually get a break from it. So it's or sports, you know, like Tim Howard, you know, he says, you know, the camera's never on him when the ball's on the other side of the pitch,
right,
and that's when he's ticking.
How about that?
Yeah.
You mentioned this event, this Hollywood Heels event. Again, it's going to be at the House of Blues on Thursday night. A lot of music, a lot of potential celebrity appearances. What can you tell us about that, Dash?
I can tell you that I have a lot of really great friends and amazing cast members and a solid Hollywood community. I guess I've been here long enough to call my buddies and say, can you come through? And everybody knows that I have Tourette's and wants to support the cause. And, you know, if whoever's not shooting will be there. And I think that's going to be most of them. So it's very exciting.
Names like Liev Schreiber, of course, from Ray Donovan with you, Leonardo DiCaprio, Chris Evans, Jeremy Renner, Ellen Pompeo, Kevin Connolly, Josh Hopkins. Wow,
yeah,
stars.
Peter Facinelli.
Nice. Wow. And there's also before we let you go, Dash, there's also an auction that's going on that's raising money for the same for the Tourette Syndrome Association as well. And there's a bunch of great things that
there's
are up.
A ton of great stuff, and we actually just found out yesterday from my musical director that we got an amazing amp that we're going to have everybody who walks in the door sign, and that'll be a hot item. Yeah.
So private visit to the set of Showtime's Ray Donovan series.
Oh, there's that too.
Yeah. That's what I'm bidding on.
Yep.
Go to supporthollywoodheels.org for the auction. If you can't be at the event this Thursday, you can still donate some money to a good cause by going for one of the auction items.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to be there Thursday night at the House of Blues, it's tsa-usa.org. TSA, and that, of course, is Tourette Syndrome Association, -usa.org.
And if you go slash Hollywood Heels, then you'll go right to the link.
Oh, great. Okay. And last time you were here, we played a little bit of the music that the band that you were in, which was terrific, if I remember correctly. And you guys, again, for folks who weren't with us last segment, you guys are going to be performing on stage at the House of Blues, right?
We are. I'm performing a crazy set with a bunch of extremely talented musicians. I have Morris Hayes, who used to MD for Prince, and Elliot Yameen, from who was on American Idol, Michaela Gordon, mm-hmm. Joel Helen, Sean Chapman, Justin Fraser, and of course the incomparable Michael Choi, who's on bass. It's gonna be a hot set.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
I have a clip. I know it's a lot. Played last time. If you want to hear a little clip,
some of Dash's music.
Uh huh. A little bit. I have a clip.
Stepping outside of that limo, my nerves are such a mess. But hopefully, all you noticed was my knockout dress.
No, Kevin,
I dropped that. Bomb, and I love making you laugh. I've been working so hard. Yeah, time and a half.
This is him. Buy and download rapids. My heart is beating fast. No. I hope I don't fall out so I can do make love last.
That's Dash right there.
No, that's from The Bachelor.
That's not Dash?
The rap that The Bachelor was doing on the show The Bachelor.
My bad.
If you missed any of the information about Thursday night at the House of Blues or the auction or the Tourette Syndrome Association, we have all of it up at the Kevin and Bean Facebook page if you want to check that out. Dash, great to see you again, my friend. Good luck with the events this week. Thanks for coming in.
I really, really, really appreciate you having me on.
No worries. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:53.
Let's hear it.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Then you got Vanilla Ice on the loose. He's got a knife, but he's running. He's going to stab people.
Because he stabbed stab people.
Hold on a sec. What's Kevin talking about?
No, let's investigate more. Why is Vanilla Ice going to stab people?
Nope.
No, he stole some stuff.
He stole a pool heater and a couch and stuff out of a vacant house.
What are you talking about, Kevin?
I was thinking of Screech.
You were confusing Vanilla Ice.
Not even a singer.
With the guy from Saved by the Bell?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
That seems like that was more than a moment. Maybe we need like 5 minutes, a half hour.
It's the Hall of Fame.
Where's the benefit at the House of Blues for Kevin, by the way?
Really?
Why are we raising money to research what's going wrong with him?
What's writer syndrome? How do you cure that?
Wouldn't it be awesome if they finally diagnosed it as writer syndrome and that became like a thing that people have in the world
like
now?
It'd be like the Lou Gehrig of dummies.
Yes.
I don't think that would be awesome.
That'd be awesome.
And that would be the name of your autobiography, the Lou Gehrig of dummies. I think we're on to something here.
Writer's syndrome is a horrible illness. Strikes 1 in 4 radio personalities.
Ralph, we're going to need a PSA for tomorrow's show,
Writer's
please.
Syndrome?
I think so, yeah. Hey, how about the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean show? What's going on?
Shut up, Ralph.
Screech.
Hate you.
Sharknado 3.
Yes.
It's in the works. You interested?
Yes.
Looks like it's going to be just as fun as the previous two editions of the Sharknado franchise. Of course, Ian Ziering and Tara Reid are back on board for the third film. It's just been announced that the President of the United States will be played by Mark Cuban of Shark Tank fame. The Vice President, Ann Coulter. Right-wing mouthpiece Ann Coulter will be the Vice President.
All right.
Tara Reid's mother will be played by Bo Derek.
Wow.
Jerry Springer will play one of the victims of a shark. WWE superstar Chris Jericho will be a roller coaster operator.
Because this movie wasn't crazy enough the first two times.
And Chris Kirkpatrick of NSYNC will be a lifeguard in a pool scene, apparently. So the stars are lining up to be in Sharknado 3.
Where is this one attack? Is it DC? Is it?
First one was the... Then it was New York was the other one, right?
That's right.
I think this one is... Yeah, I think it is Washington, D.C. I think it is.
I was only guessing that because the president...
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't know.
Sharknado 3.
What are the chances that, once again, there would be sharks coming out of the water in a tornado?
This is a phenomenon. This happens.
D.C. and Orlando, Florida.
Oh, right. Let's go up and down the eastern seaboard, I think. I think it's the whole eastern seaboard,
like
I think.
Like it does, yeah.
Now, guys,
Orlando, by the way, which is not on the ocean at all. The only big landlocked city in Florida. Have they picked Miami or something close to water, at least?
That's a great point. How about a little research? A little geography. I know that they had to make this movie because the second one was so popular, even bigger than the first, but we're at the point of diminishing returns on Sharknado, right?
I don't know. The second one did much bigger numbers than the first one did.
Who's behind it? Same group?
Sci-fi.
Same writers? Sci-fi. Same director?
Same gangs behind Sharknado 3.
I'm in.
And I'm just hoping that Lavalantula picks up some of this Sharknado heat, and we have some reflected glory for our show as well. Maybe they'll air it around the same time. Me and the Goot killing spiders.
Now, I hope we get another riveting interview with Tara Reid when the movie comes around.
Me too.
Get a chance to have her on again.
Yeah, because she thinks it could happen.
Yeah.
Right.
She says that's possible.
It's science.
Science. Robert Downey Jr.
Yes.
Come on.
Winner.
Why don't we just make him our king? He's just the coolest.
I would vote for him for something.
There's few people in the world that
just anything in general?
Yeah.
Especially actors. There are very few actors that you think, you know what, I think if you just turned on a camera and let him just riff, it would be a better movie than most movies.
Yeah, true.
Put Robert Downey Jr. and Vince Vaughn in a room together and turn on a camera and then just let me watch that for an hour and a half. Versus almost anything you can write and direct these days. That's how entertaining and charming Robert Downey Jr. is.
Sure is.
He is currently at work with a great charity organization called Omaze, OMAZE.com. And what they do is they largely, it's a platform that raises money for nonprofits, largely for kids. J.J. Abrams, for example, just did one with Star Wars, where you could be an extra on the Star Wars movie that he's making.
That's
pretty
cool.
That was for UNICEF. This time, it's for Julia's House, which is a children's hospice center dedicated to improving the lives of children that are diagnosed with terminal illness. You can spend an evening with Robert Downey Jr. and be his date to the Marvel's Avenger Age of Ultron premiere if you're one of the, if you're the lucky winner. You just have to go to omaze.com, donate $10. It's like buying a raffle ticket, basically. Then one of the people who donates will be chosen to spend the evening with Robert Downey Jr. There's a video online right now you can check out where Robert describes what kind of evening you're in store for.
Hi, Honey Bunnies. Quick question. Have you had the best night of your life ever on Earth yet?
Well, you could. With me. For a good cause. Here's the deal. You donate $10 or more for a chance to win the RDJ experience. I correspondingly fly you and a friend out to L.A., put you up in a four-star hotel, and proceed to awesome the crap out of you.
Come on. He's going to awesome the crap out of you.
I didn't know that was possible.
So, yeah. So go. It's a good cause. Go to omaze.com/RDJ and donate some money towards Julia House. It's the, they do good stuff there. Before I get to celebrity birthdays, real quick email I want to read from listener Jonathan. I just want to share my latest experience at Buffalo Wild Wings over the weekend. Their wings are one of my favorites, and I usually visit their establishment at least twice a month, maybe more. During my last visit, I decided to be brave and order their Blazin' Flavor Wings, the hottest wing sauce on the menu. I ordered a dozen and quickly realized that I could barely finish two without experiencing extreme pain. I ended up giving them to my buddy to finish and spent the remainder of my time trying to cool down my mouth with milk and other cold beverages. Upon leaving Buffalo Wild Wings with a defeated palate and empty stomach, I quickly realized I should have ordered teriyaki.
I woke up in a new Bugatti. I should have ordered teriyaki.
I want to thank listener Jonathan Cantro who sent that one in.
No. I'm sorry?
Listener Jonathan
no.
Cantro.
I'm sorry, who did?
Jonathan Cantro.
Huh.
Listener Jonathan Cantro sent that in.
So you wrote it.
No, I didn't write
it. Oh, really? Okay.
You know who Jonathan Cantro is?
I do, yeah.
Well, then why would you think I wrote it?
Because he couldn't.
He did.
Fantastic.
Fire beer mug.
It's our own beer mug. Came up with that one.
No way.
He did.
Nope.
I'm telling you, in the other room, he's very smart.
Really?
Yes.
We should have moved him there sooner.
I think maybe we'll be close to you.
Could have been. He got the, some of the writer's syndrome.
I think he was coming down with symptoms of writer's syndrome, and we moved him into another room, and he's much better now.
Nobody wants that.
So you can get writer's syndrome with proximity?
Oh,
is
yes.
What we're learning
oh
here?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's airborne.
Today's celebrity birthdays, rapper Tone Loc is 49 years old today.
Took it to the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you're the king. I said, be my queen if you know what I mean. And let's do the wild thing. Wild thing.
Baby, baby, please. Julie Bowen of Modern Family's 45. And Jessica Biel is 33 years old. Yolandi Visser. Visser? I hardly even know her. From D'Antwoord. She's also in the movie Chappie. She's 31 years old today. I'm Ralph.
This is Ninja.
And Yolandi.
From the Antwoord.
And the movie Chappie.
Hi. You're listening to Kevin and Bean on the world famous K-Rock from 106.7.
I didn't even know they were here.
They are. In the other room. Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show this beat.
Quick reminder, Friday at noon, tickets go on sale for the 7th annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. The 2015 show is going to be Saturday, April the 4th at the Shrine Auditorium, Tenacious D. By the way, that's all you need, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
If you're going to see Tenacious D at the Shrine, you've got yourself a great evening.
Right.
Gabriel Iglesias, Fluffy himself is going to be there. Ralphie May, Adam Ray, Eliza Schlesinger, Brad Williams. House music by DJ Mike Realm, who's always awesome. You're going to have a great time, and it benefits some great local charities, Fisher House and Cedar Sinai at NICU. You can get those tickets Friday at noon. And we should also mention, Ralph, we've got the party bus section again this year, right?
That's right. You get a T-shirt, and it's the seat's right up there front, close by the stage. And you also get preferred parking, and you get to hang out with us at our very special party backstage.
That's optional.
Yeah,
little cocktail party before the show.
Say one.
Why wouldn't you want to?
Because you might get the writer syndrome.
Oh, that's true. We have to put Kevin in a bubble.
In proximity. That's the danger
there. It's the party bus section. They have to be there.
And I should mention no actual bus involved in the party bus. There is no bus involved in the party. That's just the name of the things. But you get that on a t-shirt, which is pretty
cool. But there will be stabbing people. I'm going around stabbing people.
Like
with
we
a
do.
Wooden hand.
Hey, it's been a while since we did this, but it's time to play Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just want to tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Yes.
Bean Makes Us Guess is the name of the game that we play from time to time. We come across, I don't know why, but I love lists so much.
Well, yeah, I can't figure that out.
I don't know why you love it either.
Bean love lists.
I do love lists, but I love maps, and I love a lot of things. But lists are one of my favorites, and I just thought this was a fascinating one and a good Bean Makes Us Guess. So let's play.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
This is from the Mount Sinai School of Medicine, and I don't know how they did it, but they have identified the 20 most addictive foods in the world.
The most addictive foods.
Now, these are foods which make you eat them. You know, you eat these foods until you're sick, until you're uncomfortable, till you're just worn out from eating, but you can't stop. You can't have just one. Addictive foods.
Addictive foods.
And I thought it might be fun, and maybe, Allie, if you wouldn't mind keeping score. Oh, let me turn that off. I thought it might be fun if we just kind of go around the room and, like, just in order, go Kevin, Ralph, Allie, and you guys take a stab, and if you come up with one that's on the list, then we'll give you a point. And then let's play the game as long as we have time and see how many who gets the most points.
Are you shaving?
Throw the phone away from your microphone.
It is. The phone is way far away.
It's taped to the microphone.
It's not at all.
Do you have a joy buzzer on your hand and you're holding the microphone?
It's got a vibrator.
Again, we're playing Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
All right, so these aren't foods with actual addictive properties to them, but they're just so amazing. Everyone, you can't have just one of these items.
According to the Mount Sinai School of Medicine, the most addictive foods in the world. Kevin, we're going to put you up first. What do you think is on this list?
McDonald's French fries.
French fries are number 6 on the list of the most addictive foods, so you do get a point.
Kevin,
Ralph Garman.
Me.
You think we should narrow it down to maybe just top 10? Why don't we just do top 10?
Sure.
How about that? Rather than top 20. Okay.
All right. We got a place, someplace to go, man. You in a hurry? I got time.
And this has been
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Oh, Kevin wins.
I win with 1 point.
Addictive foods. I would say pizza. Pizza slices. Usually overeat on pizza. Too many pizza.
Ralph Garman, pizza is number 1.
So does he just win?
No.
I do feel like he should get more than 1 point for coming up with number 1. But yes, pizza is the most addictive food. Now, what is it about pizza that makes you not be able to just have a slice, I wonder?
Man, I get to the point of vomit every time I eat pizza. I just always overindulge in pizza. I don't know why.
All right. Let's see how the girl does. Allie, what do you think?
Do I have to go specific like Dorito or can I just say chips?
Chips. Yeah. You can just say chips if that is that your guess is chips?
Yes, it is.
Let me see. Chips is number 3 on the most addictive foods. Very impressive. Seriously, number 6, number 3, and number 1 with your first 3 guesses, you guys.
Yeah. We are fat asses.
Kevin, you're up.
Ice cream.
Ooh. Ice cream is number 5.
Wow.
Thank you.
It's like you have this list in front of you.
Everything we know is eating a lot.
It sure sounds like it. Now the first person who guesses something that's not on the list is going to look like a big fat loser.
And we're up to Ralph.
Okay. I would say chocolate. Chocolate.
Is number mother effing 2, ladies and gentlemen.
Ralph has 1 Boom. And 2.
So we now have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Were your first 6 guesses.
That's right. That's how
we've
roll.
never had a contest like this before. Huh. All right, I think Allie's
up. Allie McKay?
Cake.
Okay. Number 9.
Wow! We're crushing this.
We are.
Crushing
We're
it.
We're amazing,
number 9.
Guys.
I love
feels
us.
Good. Go ahead, Screech.
Badasses we are. Big gluttonous, obese eaters we are.
What you got, Screech?
Now you can't be the first one to miss because everybody's
got a loser.
There's not much left.
Say radishes.
Brad can't stop eating those radishes, man.
Oh, wow.
Pressure's too high now.
I'm drawing a blank.
What a surprise.
I'm drawing a blank.
You're out of foods?
You can't come up with
anything? You can't think of any other foods?
Not even a guess?
Well, I'm trying to think of the most addictive. Hot dogs.
I know. I got to have a dozen hot dogs in every sitting. No, but can't stop eating hot dogs.
You can't. You always eat too many.
I'm sorry to say no. Hot dogs
come
are not.
On.
Not anywhere in the
top. Hot dogs.
Everyone is eating too many hot dogs.
I'm sorry. Hot dogs didn't make the list. But let's get going. Ralph, you're up next. Your streak is still. Maybe we should eliminate the monkey, and now you guys go until somebody
misses
one. That's a good
idea. Let's do a sudden death. Sudden death.
Sudden death. Here we go.
All right. I would have to say peanuts, nuts, mixed nuts.
Nuts are not in the top 10, but what is? We've used up most of the top 10. I'm going to allow it in sudden death. You are top 20. That was number 19 on the list of the most addictive foods. 19. Number 19.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, because didn't make the cut.
Because there's only three left in the top 10, so let's expand it. So. All right, so Ralph is still in the game. Allie, you are still in the game. What's your guess, please?
I don't know if something like a pie would be equivalent of cake.
No, they're very different.
No, totally different?
Very different.
Okay. Pie.
Have we already said cake?
Yes.
Yeah,
said
we did
cake.
Say cake, yes.
Unfortunately, pie is not not on the list. I'm sorry.
I win!
So Ralph Garman is the winner,
Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you what the other ones are on the list.
Just hot dogs?
So Kevin can think of some foods, here some foods that he
the
didn't think of.
Make it?
Number 20 is eggs. Now, that's the most surprising.
Eggs?
Eggs doesn't seem addictive to me at all. Nuts was number 19. Muffins, number 18. Steak, number 17 on their
steak?
List.
Steak?
What? Gummy bears, number 16.
Gummy bears.
Breakfast cereal, number 15.
Cereal? I've eaten a box of cereal before.
Of course.
Here's the one that I was surprised that Kevin did not come up with at number 14. Popcorn. Buttered popcorn.
Oh, sure.
Then plain rolls.
Come
which I
on,
guess is
plain
just
rolls.
Bread. Is just bread. Number 12 was number
That's
12
a stupid
was
list. If it five plain rolls. F your list.
Fried chicken was number 12 on the list.
Yeah, I've eaten too much.
Number
chicken.
11 was bacon.
How did we not think of bacon?
We're dumb. Number 10 was cheese.
Yeah, cheese.
Then number 9 was cake, and the only other one we didn't mention, I think, was number 8, which was soda.
That's not
soda.
A food.
That's a food.
Dude, it's on their list.
That's
it's
a stupid list. There's no hot dogs.
Mount Sinai School of Medicine says those are the 20
most
addictive foods.
Me and Kobe actually like to eat a lot of hot dogs. Before the drive.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:36.
Ralph Garman is here. It's time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, man?
Surprised me there for a minute. I forgot I was here. I woke up here. Look at me. Getting Breyer syndrome.
It is catching.
Yeah.
Speaking of it being Tuesday, this could just be me, but it's a very complicated day for me today because Tuesday is my IHOP day, as you know.
Oh, crap.
And,
but it's free pancake day.
It's free pancake day, so I can't go because I hate it. I hate free pancake day so much.
Because other people are happy. And you can't stand it when other people are happy.
It's just, you know, Ralph, you're a professional drinker. You don't want to go out on New Year's Eve. You know what I mean? There's just a bunch of amateur pancake fans out there that are just mucking it up for the rest of us.
Wait,
there are professional pancake eaters?
What I'm saying is that
Bean considers himself one, apparently.
51 Tuesdays a year, I'm, you know, when these people are off having burritos for lunch, I'm having pancakes on my Tuesday, like I do. But now, because free pancake day falls on a Tuesday, now I got to stay away from my house. I got to stay as far away from my house as possible. It's kind of upsetting my routine a little bit, and I'm not comfortable with it.
I would just like to jump in at this moment and say a lot of people think that that's exaggerated. That is not exaggerated.
No, this is a genuine concern.
This is truly being
concerned.
It's
very troubling. It's very upsetting. When I heard that Free Pancake Day was coming up soon, I was like, please don't let it be on a Tuesday. But now it is. So now what do I do? Because I upset
you
my routine by not going.
You go to any other restaurant, and you'll be fine.
Well, I'm still going to get pancakes.
Off the air? What did you say, Bean?
What did I say?
You said, and I quote, I can't go to IHOP. I've got to go indie.
Well, yeah.
I missed indie.
I'm going to some of my backup indie pancake places. I'll go to Flapjack's or someplace like that, or the Pancake Hut. You know, some of my backups I'll go to because they're not doing stupid free pancake day.
Going indie.
It's very upsetting.
Why don't you go have Subway or Italian or pizza or Chinese?
Because Tuesdays are pancakes, Ralph. That's why. Tuesdays and Thursdays
Who
are my pancake
roll?
Days.
Bean did.
Well, Brent, you made the rule. You can change the rule.
Well, it's not a rule as much as it is. It's just what I enjoy. It's my schedule.
Right.
Oh, man.
But we're saying you could
probably I like to stick with that. I like to disrupt it if I don't have to.
Thank God we don't care. Go to IHOP or
don't.
Don't
you have a Denny's day?
Yeah, but that's Thursday. I can't go today.
Why not? Swap. Do Denny's today and then IHOP on Thursday.
I'm very uncomfortable with
that. It's practically the same.
Or Denny's today and Denny's Thursday?
Very uncomfortable with that.
I say go indie, have some pancakes, and everything will be okay next Tuesday.
I think that's what I'm going to do. Okay. I only bring it up to ask if you guys are suffering through a similar struggle today.
Yeah, we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So
another option
back.
Could be guzzle a gallon of antifreeze as fast as possibly can, then lay down.
Or fall down, however you do it.
Whatever it is you do these
however
days.
You do.
I generally just fall down.
Yeah. All right. Let me give away something to the nice people who had to put up with that pancake riff. It is passes to the premiere of the new movie, The Gunman.
Yay!
Sean Penn with a gun. Oh, that you wouldn't like him with a gun. He's going to take you out. Former Special Forces soldier and military contractor suffering from PTSD has to decide when to get his pancakes. Sounds very exciting, this film. No, he's on the run from London to Barcelona, trying to find his longtime love, trying to clear his name. Looks outstanding. Great cast. Idris Elba, Javier Bardem. Great cast along with Sean Penn. If you'd like to see the premiere, it's happening March the 12th at the Regal Cinemas LA Live. The movie, The Gunman, is in theaters everywhere on March the 20th. But if you're one of the first five callers right now at 1-800-520-1067, you'll get a pair of passes to the premiere of The Gunman. If it's the premiere, I'm guessing Sean Penn will be there.
Oh.
Yeah.
And if Sean Penn is there, you know who else is going to be there. My buddy, Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
Just saying.
She's pretty much the best.
That's worth the ticket of admission.
What?
The price of admission right there.
But then you got to worry about Vanilla Ice running around with a knife.
That's true. You don't want him savvy. Carving people up left and right with his wooden hand. Can we play that moment with
No,
that moment
we can't have enough time to play the moment with, for God's sake.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Then you got Vanilla Ice on the loose. He's got a knife, but he's running. He's going to stab people.
Because he stabbed people. Stab people.
Hold on a sec. What's Kevin talking about?
I don't know. Vanilla let's find out. Let's investigate more. Why is Vanilla Ice going to stab people?
Nope.
No, he stole some stuff.
He stole like a pool heater and a couch and stuff out of a...
What are you
home?
Talking about, Kevin?
I was thinking of Screech.
You were thinking of Screech? You were confusing Vanilla Ice?
Not even a singer.
With the guy from Saved by the Bell?
Yes, I was. Yeah,
that was A Moment with Kevin.
Give him the breathalyzer!
That's what we got, people.
We
got pancakes on the left. We got Screech on the right. That's where we are. Stuck in the middle with you. George Takei, Sulu, of course, from Star Trek, went to see the Broadway musical Honeymoon in Vegas last week. The New York Daily News covered it because they went backstage and saw the star of the Broadway show, Tony Danza, and Tony put a Hawaiian lei around George's neck. This is not a joke. He said to everyone in the room, if you had told me I was going to get laid by Tony Danza, I would have come to this show much sooner. Come on!
Oh, my. I was so expecting something about a Bugatti at the end of that sentence.
No, I swear to God, that was an actual story. George, by the way, is making his Broadway debut in October in a new musical called Allegiance. And I believe it's about the internment camps during World War II, where the Japanese were placed into internment camps.
And
his family was.
Oh, really?
In San Francisco, wow. Yeah. Judge Judy Scheinlin. You know her as Judge Judy. Just signed a 3-year extension to her show, which will keep her on the air through the year 2020. Her last 3-year deal was for $47 million a year.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
This one, they're saying, is for significantly more.
Per year.
So what does that mean? $60 million a year she's getting?
And think about how inexpensive that show is to make.
Yeah, it's her behind a piece of plywood.
Just yelling at people. Bringing more people to yell at.
They can film 100 a day. She can film the entire season in a day and go home and just count her money.
Not interested, sir.
It is the number one syndicated show on TV. 10.3 million viewers per week.
I mean, it's really good. It's a really good show.
Is it $60 million a year good?
I mean, obviously they wouldn't pay her that if it weren't making that.
As an aside, by the way, Judy doesn't have a manager or an agent or anything. She gets all of that.
She's brilliant. Let's just say she is a brilliant woman.
She wins.
God bless you.
I yell at people. Why can't I make that kind of money? Who knew there was that kind of money in yelling?
So you get Zippo, nada.
That's right. That's what I get. Mm-hmm. Zippo and nada. New releases. Outlander Season 1 and Volume 1. The TV show Outlander, that's on DVD today as we look at the new releases, as is Transporter. Are there any TV shows that I've heard of on DVD?
Not yet.
Foxcatcher, the movie with Steve Carell and Channing Tatum and Mark Ruffalo, that's available on DVD today. New CDs, Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, Chasing Yesterday's name of the CD. And Kelly Clarkson has a new CD called Piece by Piece. She was on Jimmy Fallon last night. I don't know if you caught that or not.
Did not.
This is going to come as a shock to you, but Jimmy Fallon sometimes, very rarely, if he's really pressed, if he's really put a gun to his head, he will actually get up and sing a song with his guests.
What? Did she insist on it?
No. He read in the newspaper that she said she's having a hard time finding people to collaborate with. And he's like, I'll do a duet with you. I'll sing with you. I'll do a duet. So he brought it out on stage, and they did the history of duets, which is pretty much every duet in popular music. Here's just a minute of this.
Mark. Yeah.
Ing.
Yeah.
Bird.
Yeah.
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 Mockingbird.
Everybody, have you heard?
Islands in the stream. That is what we are. No one in between.
Listen to the crowd.
How can we be wrong?
Yeah, what are they clapping for?
To another world.
There's another one.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of them.
You were working as a waitress in a cocktail bar when I met you.
I picked you out. I shook you up and turned you around.
All right. All right. Okay, we understand. We get the gist.
That's baloney.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Where's Judge Judy when you need her?
No kidding.
It sounds like bad karaoke.
That's his show, I think.
That's a show.
I think his show is just bad karaoke.
They should just rename it. Take the Tonight Show name away from it. Just go, Jimmy Fallon's Bad Karaoke. Tonight on NBC. Today's celebrity birthdays, Yolande Visser from De Antwoord. She's also in Chappie. She's 31 years old today. She has an interesting haircut.
They are a weird, weird couple of people.
Jessica Biel's 33. Julie Bowen. From Modern Family's 45. Did anybody see their social media episode the other night?
With the iPad?
Yes.
This is the one where they shot the whole thing on a...
Right?
I'm fine. I didn't faint
did
that time.
Did you go
time.
Down again?
Nope, I didn't faint that time. I just hit the mic
with
my
shot?
Hand. This is the one where they filmed the whole thing on like a Mac or something, right?
Yeah.
I'm fine. I literally I just hit it with my hand.
It sounded like you were listening to the show across the room and you had to run to the microphone to get there to say something in time.
No, not at all. He's just sitting there just chatting. Everything's fine.
Look, you've hit the mic with your hand before.
Yeah, but normally with you, it's on your way down.
I didn't fall. I'm fine. What was your point about the Modern Family episode? Was it great?
It was very creative, very, very interesting. It was still a very funny episode, but it was done in a very sort of fresh, interesting way. It was well done. And Tone Loc is 49 years old today. Legendary Tone Loc. Sounds a little something.
Took it to like the hotel. She said, you're the king. I said, be my queen if you know what I mean. And let's do the wild thing.
Baby, baby, please. Tone Loc's 49 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her off tomorrow morning. All new Kevin and Bean show.
What? What? What'd you say?
We have Vince Vaughn in the studio.
Oh!
Love him so much.
Love him more.
Vince Vaughn is the best, and we have him in the studio tomorrow morning. Very excited about that.
I'm going to hug him.
Okay.
All right.
We have, would you like to take that back tomorrow? Hard to believe. We have a lot of those. Comedian Brad Williams is going to be here, one of the people from Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, speaking of which, we have your tickets tomorrow morning as well on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.